This is session number 255, recorded on February 18th, copyright 2010, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6:48 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. All right. I will let Carolyn lead with her opening topic.
Good evening, Ion. I was going through the list of topics that you gave us a long time ago, and I was intrigued by one of them. It's called The Destiny of Annihilation. And I just thought we're in annihilating times, and I thought it might be a good topic. When you said that, you talked about how certain frequencies will shatter glass, and there's a huge meme that's being rumbled, and a degree of separation, and it's taking on a life of its own, and all that.
All right. Well, then this is exactly where J.W. was this morning when he called and left a message.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was going to say. Why don't we play with today? So it was very synchronistic or synchrified, is that how it goes? If you got to go back to time, that's what the section is actually about, is time.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you have the false premise of time that you created, but let's give a few paradigms to lay out a bit of a foundation,
mm-hmm.
because this is great, because, Carolyn, with you, all you kind of do is start a topic, and we can begin and lay it out,
mm-hmm.
because as you're embracing it, it sort of starts unfolding itself, and then you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the flip side, and we love playing with Bob, as you know, you love Bob, so you know how we can't possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants it each word dissected down so that the utter knowing of understanding is achieved, even
mm-hmm.
though it rarely is, but we give it the old college try
mm-hmm.
to sift it out. But it makes it very succinct and clear, the flow of the words and participles, however dangled.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the destiny of annihilation. That's all based upon the false premise of time. We have great fun. We've said it about every way you can say it, but we're back to it again, which is wonderful, is humans invented time, and it's not serving them well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a false premise. It would be like creating death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we say there is no death. Well, if humans have the power to be, do, or have anything they'd like to be, do, or have, I guess they could be dead, they could have death, or they could be death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Correct? Or have death.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to get you to the place of understanding that there is a faster path. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The interesting part of time is you can go back to a place before there was time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't give the beginnings of the earth. They can't give the beginnings of eternal beings. But they can find a place where there was not time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't woo-woo, and there's nothing metaphysical about this. We're using the human creator's knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And we challenge the smart ones. Now, the other ones just get it, but the smart ones, the intellectualized ones, we challenge them to seek it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll discover that there was a time when there was no time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, wait a second. But there is, so there's your hypothesis now. Scientists, go to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Work it out. Get you a working job and figure it all out. And then you'll know that foundational knowing it's applicable, it applies, and it can viscerally give a different outcome to your conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the regular Joes would get that and go, oh, so all I got to do is understand that that's silly and don't fool with it anymore. Right, okay, good, now we can move on down the road. But otherwise, you take voluminous pages explaining it and dissecting it and all that gobbledygook. Sorry, hold on a minute. Sorry. All right, so now, the destiny. What does destiny mean? Predestined, already worked out, already timing allotted for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just said
mm-hmm.
that there's not any. So
mm-hmm.
we have issue with predestined
right.
or with destiny. Because that destiny, just like in your Lost series,
mm-hmm.
they're now giving the dynamic of side realities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before Lost, you wouldn't have gotten that. So we'd like to thank J.J. Abrams for sponsoring
mm-hmm.
this portion
mm-hmm.
of the program to lay it out so clearly. Well, not so much, but pretty clearly. Well, the Farragate
mm-hmm.
goes in and out. But sort of introducing the dynamic of a side reality.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is the essence of what we were talking about with the Three Kingdoms, which has a great deal to do with your application of annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now you understand how we brought it forth many, many sessions ago, but until the kingdoms got landed, you were sort of been urinating in the wind, would you not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you got the kingdoms, so you can get the girth of what we're of the laying out your infinity process within the duality of the three kingdoms.
Uh-huh.
And as those three kingdoms come into a place where, sorry, we're going so fast, but you're going 100 miles an hour, so it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So the annihilation process is a reality, side reality or otherwise, that many human creators are embracing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the validation of that by the way humans are embracing their beingness.
And what was that? And you know that by the way they're embracing their beingness?
Some humans are embracing their beingness.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, we said that cheekily on purpose because you knew, see, that would send Bob up a tree and he'd have gajillion questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, but that's why we did it that way, because he'll beat that to death, get it exactly to suit him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking forward to it, so no problem. Now, this annihilation, could you please, if you get a shot, tell us what Miriam says about annihilation, por favor?
Yeah. Can't even spell it right. Oh, there's an H in there, no wonder.
Uh-huh.
Annihilation. What she says, annihilation of the self, bracket, as in mystical contemplation of God.
Bam.
Wow, I never knew that.
No one ever knew that because nobody ever bothered to know what words they're using. But yet they have no problem embracing a false premise called time and making that be what everything in their world revolves about.
Well, that's it. It's under self-annihilation. Let me look at annihilation, the verb.
Okay. To annihilate.
Yeah, about. To reduce to nothing, to cause to be of no effect. To destroy the substance or force of.
Yes. Yes, yes.
To regard as of no consequence, to cease to exist,
mm-hmm.
to destroy a considerable part of,
mm-hmm.
to cause to vanish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're talking about time
mm-hmm.
in that context, boy, your topic of conversation. conversation just took a whole different turn for the better, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Annihilating time, yeah. So, it's like annihilating destiny is annihilating time.
Yes. And they even give that reference of making it such a less than part of, or decreasing significantly,
uh-huh.
or to do self-annihilation, because that's who we're speaking to, is the selves that will engage this,
because
that was our pick and choice out of all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm. So where do we go from here? We have the answer.
We'll do the self-annihilation. Oh, we're just getting warmed up, honey. Please give us the definition of self-annihilation again.
Sure.
So we're clear.
Yes.
For the readers.
Annihilation of the self, bracket, as in mystical contemplation of God.
Mystical contemplation of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that written that way? Do they get it? Is Merriam-Webster the lexicographer and enlightened human creator?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? If it's self-annihilation, it has to do with the dissipating of your experience of God.
I know. Weird.
Isn't that? And it's not weird. It's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it out of your book, all of a sudden it's weird. And we say, well, it's you question it, but it becomes validated. We've been saying it from the mountaintops forever, and folks act like it's the first time the words have ever been uttered in any language.
Well, is it in the sense of annihilating yourself and then knowing that you're God?
No. Then if you know you are God and you have self-annihilation, then you would be destroying God, would you not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, wow. Maybe this isn't going to be so hard after all. Now, okay, now we're talking about destine, predestine, destiny, we'll add self-annihilation, that's okay, because that is what it's all about. It has to be a self thing, because you, however marvelous and powerful, can't annihilate anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Try it. They just won't die. You know, unless you hook it up with the ones that are trying desperately to get out anyway, so they can make their predestined destiny work out for them.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you're talking about destiny and you realize you're the creator, everything is destiny because everything is already worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've already got it worked out to the fastest. So your destiny then is to all day, every day, find and follow the fastest path to your joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be your destiny, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no annihilation in that equation. However, if you're in a cross place of that, still getting your sea legs about you, then it might become the fastest path to your joy just to be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're telling you and all that are listening, if you'll pay attention and watch with this thinning of the veil process, and this was what we were beating about the bush, holy or otherwise, when we came up with this topic, was that many of the human creators are coming to the sea of decision. The sea, that's spelled S-E-E, the sea of decision.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding their own reality.
Mm.
And what that means is the transition has already begun.
Mm-hmm.
The transition has already begun.
And
they're deciding. They are deciding.
Mm-hmm.
They are deciding because if they're not going to have it, then they'll choose to croak.
And fly their plane into a building to announce it.
Or get ass waves crossed with an earthquake. or a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
or a snowstorm, or a flood, or a tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
Pick some, or a freight train. It's okay. Doesn't really matter. Just because it's their choice, and you gotta honor their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
when you say SEE of decision, we don't draw an analogy there with the SEA of the Gulf, do we?
Mm. They are linked, mm-hmm. but we were trying to get you to look,
mm-hmm.
rather than by the sea, by the silvery sea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how happy we'll be.
So there is some sort of association?
Well, of course, because once you transition, that's where you're headed.
Right, yeah.
But that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
But the sea of transition is to get you to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some are choosing to hang around. And mm-hmm. some are choosing to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That's normal. Some choose to cut their fingernails. Some choose to let them grow out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we talk about it like that, you go, well, who cares? Well, the same way with death.
Mm-hmm.
And or transition.
Okay, good. And I interrupted you a second ago.
That's all right. We somehow are able to hang on to it.
Yeah.
The flow. Do you know what chocolate is?
I do.
And do you know the concept of tempering chocolate?
No.
Well, it's a very interesting process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a parallel to life.
Mm-hmm.
You have cocoa butter, fat solids in cacao.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a slurry or to make chocolate, the degree of moisture in proportion to the butter fat is the crystalline process of tempering chocolate, so you get the appropriate crystallization.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a ganache or a soft chocolate sauce that doesn't firm up into something rock hard like a bark. You can have a nicely tempered chocolate that's very smooth, it'll set up, but it's very, very, very shiny.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the way those crystals fit together in connecting with the cocoa butter and the cacao.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a you know, if you refrigerate it too quickly, sometimes it'll sweat or get white on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll form a really hard crack
mm-hmm.
in the chocolate. Well, that's kind of the same way that humans play with their decision divination process.
Hmm.
And what we mean by that is there's no wrong way to do it, but there are certain processes that get the chocolate to certain states.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand these processes, then you choose how you want your chocolate to come out. Like the sands of the hourglass, so are the days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay? What that means is, if you want more contrast so you can overcome it and be a survivor, there's a way to do it that's kind of brash, but it'll do it. It'll get you there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be contrasting. Or if you just want a real smooth, mellow flow, pick the fruit a little green, put it in a little basket, and let the gas ripen it slowly and get it just the perfect degree of ripeness, and then you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Or, you know, or you can increase that process. Take an avocado and put it in a paper sack, and it'll ripen faster.
Mm-hmm.
So you have control, and with a nickel's worth of knowledge, that becomes very known.
Mm-hmm.
Not weird, odd, poltergeisty. It's normal. And you understand that process, but you don't understand how you apply these simple, basic knowings also to your life force, and your beingness.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the interruption when we were describing in Lost these side realities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not parallel worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You understand that, right? And if not, stop and let us clean it up.
Well, side realities, no, I guess I didn't, I don't know what they are. I don't know if I thought of them as parallel worlds or not.
Well, but they're just not.
Okay.
You see, they're just not, because those parallel worlds. Now, can you have a side experience in a parallel world? Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you also could have a heart attack in cold weather, and you could have a heart attack in warm weather, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Both are heart attacks, but the climate's very different in which you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why we have to draw the deference, so you understand. What's happening in Lost is not parallel worlds. They are alternate side experiences, realities.
And what does
within
that mean?
Within that world. Well, you lived in New York. That was a reality.
Mm-hmm.
You live in Maui. That's also a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the same reality.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do them both at the same time?
I don't know.
Well, that's in parallel worlds, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In your own visceral knowingness, no.
Mm-hmm.
You would be in one or the other. Well, that's what we talk about, a side reality. So, from a parallel world, you could test out Mauiisms to see if that would work out, and then move your world into a side experience and land in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, that's with your kingdoms, with your inner and outer, and your middle kingdom. You can work that out to make sure it pleases you beforehand.
But what's happening in Lost, it seems that the two side realities are going on at the same time.
Sure. Within your inner and outer kingdom, absolutely. But they really aren't. They're just being presented that way.
Mm-hmm.
You got John Locke, who's dead on the island and taken over by the smoke geister. Then you got John Locke in the wheelchair, getting fired from his job and bumping into the same people on the island that they're bumping into. But they come to the place of protecting the island, this anomaly. The experience of the island of Lost is the anomaly. It's the exception, it's not the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And those that were in earlier times chosen to decide if they were going to be the protector of the island or to beat back the smoke monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Once that comes out, then you get to get marked off the legend if you're the one of the others who's keeping track of all that. Because all those names in the cave were written beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Way beforehand. Not after they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that by the little flashbacks that you see where different people are realizing
uh-huh.
that they've bumped into folks already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like as a little bitty kid, and then you have a little flash, and then you have a little flash, and then you have a little flash. Well, that's just realizing a side reality that already was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then it becomes meaningful, but it wasn't meaningful when it was going on.
Mm-hmm.
When you were New York, Carolyn, it didn't dawn on you that Maui, Carolyn, could be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you were just about as happy in New York or in Canada or wherever
mm-hmm.
as you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe less pressure, but you keep the control of that too. You'll pipe up pressure even there on Maui if it's your pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not being mean, we're just saying yes or no, and of course, it doesn't matter, but you know what we mean. You have about the same amount of laundry as you did,
mm-hmm.
except, instead of being winter clothes in the wintertime, it's more towels that you're drying off with than,
mm-hmm.
you know, freshening So it's not as that it's layers and layers and layers of clothes to keep you from being so cold. It's more the accoutrements that you use just in functioning in a different reality.
So the side realities that Lost is putting forth,
yes,
they're not at the same time.
Right.
But they're just two different expressions of what could be happening.
That's correct. A side reality.
Uh-huh.
We said the other day, do you know what a side bar is? And everybody said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's an example of a side bar of having a different conversation within the confines of a certain reality.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Bam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, and we've tempered chocolate, so you have all that dynamic to play with. It's not complete, but it's laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You have your kingdoms now that you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm.
To understand how these things are, these angles are coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
To choose which ones you allow into your middle kingdom. But mm-hmm. you do understand you could have a very nasty situation in your outer kingdom that never lands to roost in your middle kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But you can lay in your bed and worry about it till it pulls on your heartstrings that you give it your undivided thought. That you do everything but usher it into your middle kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those are from side realities. Would we call that a side knowing?
I don't know.
Now, we don't want to get too cute that we confuse the issue, but we do want you to think about it different ways just so it'll be softer.
Well, when you say side reality, those are from side knowing. How is that different from the another kingdom knowing?
Okay. The only way we know how to explain that is from non-physical. And that may not work out so good, but we'll try it. We'll try it. An occasion comes up. Let's say the thing Bob was just so successful with today. A side reality was Bob worked that out in his mind beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he allowed to show up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it worked out. And it showed up that way. Now, he played with other realities, but he somehow couldn't allow them into his experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be a side reality of that considering place of just 3-2-1-ing and choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and we left that vague so it didn't disturb your recording, obviously. But that point is an example of a side. But let's soften it down even more than that. Let's say you're going to make pâté today or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you've got to decide if you've got the stuff to make pâté.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could decide that pâté is going to be, and then the stuff could be there at your disposal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then you could get started and find that an element is not there, and then you wonder why you didn't check before you started the pâté. Great, now what do I do? Well, I know I'll grind it this far, do this far, put it away, get the element that I'm not, don't have at my disposal, and then finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds just simple, okay? No problem. But the same dynamic is true. You could work it to such a degree or such a way that it could spoil before you got the other components together to make it, and you have to throw the whole thing out and start again.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, you did. It wouldn't stop your world, but you understand you could escalate that into, you know, opening up a carotid artery, and then you don't have a lot many days to make a decision of what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can juice it up to an emerging state of response time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why we did it that way, because it would be like, you know, you could grind that up and it'd hold a week before you got the stuff if it was going to be Saturday market day.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. But but other things would not mm-hmm. hold that mm-hmm. long, you see. So those would be side knowings that you would engage
mm-hmm.
beforehand. Then you have total and complete control how it's going to come out before it starts up.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does that differ from just thinking of your options and choices?
Well, if it has to do with side realities, like being portrayed in Lost,
uh-huh.
then it makes a great difference.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could also, by the very same way, flip it around another way and go to a parallel world, try out the side reality, and discover Maui is not the impossible dream, it's the fastest path to your joy. And then from a back to where you are now, it could become very evidently known that that was your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can just start down a path and know how to get there. Some people can go to a restaurant and just flip up, don't even open the menu and know what they want to eat, and just so happen to have that's how it is in their restaurant
mm-hmm.
they're sitting at. And then some people take 45 minutes and order it, and then they want your food because you ordered definitively and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. Now, we did that as a very simplistic version just because everybody could say, yeah, we don't ever go eat with Judy because it takes 5 hours for her to decide, and then she ends up eating out of our plates.
Mm-hmm.
You see, which is just the point of not knowing how to decide.
Right. Now, back to Lost and the side
yep.
realities.
Are
we talking about that? Because that's what's happening. People are doing that type of.
The side realities are real. The lost reality is the sidebar. That's what they're not telling you. And we won't spoil it because this is your finale, so we won't spoil it. But if you think about it, all these different opportunities that are being laid out, those are the realities.
Mm-hmm.
The sidebar is the island.
Mm-hmm.
Because how do you get on this lost desert island with this great big old, some kind of I guess that would be the original pedophilia, dealing with the great big foot by the ocean. pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as though this place that was not is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in this jungle and you have all this blah, blah, blah. And then you have all these little houses and these little boat docks and inside little lakes and all this stuff that's just and clinics and buildings and submarines and temples and
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff that every time they walk by it's a different scenario
mm-hmm.
kind of thing, and folks are gone and then they're back and then they're over and then they're under and then they're dead and they bury one John Locke and then there's another John Locke and one can't walk and one can and all that, all those twists and turns are what's significant in the side reality that they're getting to be confounded regarding on the island of Lost.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the sieving process. And then you get to your comeuppance to a place of figuring out what it is that you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't done a great deal of that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go home. They haven't figured out how to enjoy the contrast that is their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they've tapped into the non-physical. And they can figure out if the water's not clear, don't throw the bodies in there because bad things jump on you and then they have to poison you so you're not
mm-hmm.
a devil or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's beside.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, that comes into a twirl that's just a good example for you to ponder. But we can't go any further with the lost, otherwise Bob will be very angry because he'll have all the inside and it won't be meaningful for him.
Right. Yeah, he would be very annoyed.
Yes, but we got you up to where you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very good.
And it's very good because it kind of lays it out. Now, the future fringes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We won't out you on those either. But even JW loves those, so he'll get all into that. So we'll mm-hmm. want to listen to see what's going on. But we won't out it, but you'll see that the flow of how the storylines, as they're going to, they won't be like, you know, old seasons, it starts and it runs through this whole meme through the season. These are getting to be more like hit and misses. You know, it's like, boom, this occurred, boom, this occurred, boom, this occurred, boom, this occurred. Where many times the others, it was like a long flow trying to get a story out.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going to find is more and more and more of this from that, the spiritual side of the actual parallel worlds,
mm-hmm.
which is a great contrast from, say, a Lost,
mm-hmm.
because it takes one that you would say would be ethereal, and the other would be metaphysical,
mm-hmm.
like understanding these. So if you can't understand parallel worlds, stay with Lost. And if you can get through the Lost part and you can get through the parallel worlds, stay with Fringe. Because mm-hmm. the other one just becomes intercoursing of the mind, mm-hmm. one way or the other, depending on your belief system regarding it.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're noticing, you personally are noticing, is the dynamic of how wonderful the human creators are wrapping into all these new things.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn, you're having conversations that a year ago you wouldn't have even broached.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're becoming the reigning expert regarding them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Your words have changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your knowing has increased. And we would say you notice a significant difference in your remembering process.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in school when you were doing anatomy?
Mm-hmm.
And your position was, why do we have to learn all these parts of the body unless we're going to put them back together? You know, dissecting it was fun, but it would be much more fun to put it back together and get it to work again, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really? I mean, but now, we didn't want to be cheeky, but is that not the way it was?
I don't remember directly thinking that, but it sounds something that I would think of.
Of course, because just to see what's inside of a rabbit's no fun. But if you can see what's inside of a rabbit, take it apart, and then put it back together, now you're getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a useful tool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's gallbladder falls out, and you know how to put it back, hey, that's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now, let's see. Chocolate, we got that. Lost, Fringe.
The Destiny of Annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
So can we tackle that head on? Do we have enough background?
Is that not what we've just finished?
Well, the background we finished, so
okay.
I guess it's more like, you know,
Then let's do it this way. Let's just finish it from what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to notice millions of human creators are fixing to start transitioning.
Yeah.
Straight out.
Mm-hmm.
To have, you're not going to count, it's got to be 100,000 or more before they even makes the boob tube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's because humans are in the destiny of annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to start out that way because then that would defeat the human creator's power of being, doing, and having anything we want to be, do, or have. But now we've done all this foundation stuff to get you up to the place that if they did choose that, that's because they've worked it out and that's the way it works best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's regardless of what your government does or doesn't do. That's regardless of what their mother thinks or doesn't think. Mm-hmm. That's regardless of what their children think or mate or whomever is involved.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you don't... They had a commercial years ago. I believe it was about the Nancy Reagan days, a little campaign. And the gist of it was, the mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the Vice President Quayle messed that one up. Or did Bush? I think Bush? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it came along about the same time of just say no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In that twirling place. And it's very interesting because you lay things to waste that you've not even conquered. They could have just as easily said, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Or they could have just as easily said, the mind, to boldly go where no man has gone before. They were acting as though you're wasting your aptitude of your mind when it's like the wild, wild west. You've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wasteland only because you'd never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changing, Carolyn. That's changing. The human creators, if you listen to the folks that are having engaging readings and the folks that are in your environment, their questions are very significant. Look at this pop, 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 pop. They know about parallel worlds.
Mm-hmm.
They're not asking. They're saying, hey, Ion, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ion, this is how I do it. Hey, Ion, this is what that means to me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ion, great show. That was so great. That's where I am.
Yeah. Maybe.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody told them before.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go to an L. Ron Hubbard seminar and learn about this.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct. So, what does the annihilation, how does that balance out with people knowing? Because if you know, you know you don't die.
Well, it makes room for the new kingdom.
Does it? Do we have to have?
It was no trick. Yes, it does. It was no trick that your first book was Thy Kingdom Come. It's also no trick that you'll want to add a little bit to it. Obviously. But it's perfect words. There's no problem with it. But there's a bit that you would want to engage.
Well, you know, because of the different kingdoms, we could probably put the three kingdoms right in there.
Absolutely. And that'd be a good foundation layer for Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And then on earth as it is in heaven. And that cleans it up. So the short version of what you're understanding and trying to ask but haven't quite yet is, so Ion, you're saying that when people finish reading these three books, they'll get it? And we say, yes, they certainly will. Every dynamic that would be required for those titles to be made manifest in their experience will be perfectly laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the essence of your movies. That'll be the essence of your screenplays. And we don't want to confuse things, but how is it in your fastest path to your joy to consider your Mr. Cameron as a producer? We're not saying that because you get to choose, you see. I mean, J.W. might even be the best one to help with that because he has no problem picking and choosing. But leave it broad enough that, you know, if it turns into a Scorsese thing, he doesn't care, you see. limiting. No, limiting. It's about inclusion. So, but that becomes, Bob is right, and we love admitting how right Bob is, but Bob's right. The only reason to do the book is just to put it as a validity. As a jumping in place of ownership of the dynamics and the words. That's all. That's all. But Saturday Night Live may chop with it anyway. And if you do it right, that just means you struck a chord and that many people will get it. But you just don't want it. And yes, the foundation part that you'll work with that will give enough dynamic to make this more available, readily available to most all human creators if they're interested, will be certainly a part. But not so much so that it becomes a dogma. But you're not going to have a problem with opening a 501c3. There's no problem with that. But that doesn't mean that you're going to add the dogma of the church. Okay? And you're also not going to have a problem if the papacy wants to invite you over for a little confab. Now, don't shrug yet. Because you're asking, and this is, you don't mind watching Lost and getting befuddled in those sidebar existences. So we thought we'd give you a little Lost right here, right now.
Another side reality.
Which is absolutely appropriate. You see? And you don't mind sitting down with the Holy Father, but damned if you'll lick his butt or kiss his ring. You see? But would have completely loving, reverent respect for all that it represents. Because you ain't got a dog in that fight. You ain't pushing against nothing. And, you know, you may have to learn to drink the tea, even though it's not your favorite, but just having decorum, you can let it sit there until it gets cold. It'll be all right.
So back to the huge transitions makes room for the new kingdoms. Can you talk about that?
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. That doesn't. That's just getting it. Here you go. At the end of the day, the ascended man is going to develop the position of lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. And that's not a moniker that lays out for populations. That's what the ascended man would say to a regular man to decide for themselves. But you're fixing to get to a place where you're going to stop making it your business for what everybody else is doing with their beingness.
Say that again.
Carolyn, are soon going to stop making it your business of what every dynamic within the masses considers. You see? It's going to quit being your job to wonder if your manifestations are going to have an impact on anyone else, anywhere else, everywhere else. And you'll let that go. And we're telling you, because you all but already have, but at the same time we're letting you know that you're letting it go. And it's your choice, but you did sort of already choose. And that's a good day. That's a very good day. And what you'll find is even within the dynamics of your own consultations, these words will become printing pressed into your knowing to the point that you'll lovingly be able to say, it's your choice. Here's your opportunity. Here's your capacity. Well, but no, you're supposed to help me. No, I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the experiences. I'm going to and listen to you and hear where you are. And if you're looking for a different position, I'll be happy to help any way I can.
Mm-hmm.
But your position has nothing to do with where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds a little egotistical. That sounds a bit pious, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's never, 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 never your nature.
Mm-hmm.
But that this too shall change.
Mm-hmm.
And not even, and still be compassionate, because you're a lover who loves. You're going to be easy with everybody. You're not going to. You know, that's...
Well, when you say lead, follower, get the hell out of the way, then, I mean, leading and following, that implies that you're still working on, I am, or someone is still working on, kind of trying to work with others, trying to lead them or follow where they're going.
No.
The only choice is to get the hell out of the way.
No. No, that's good. That's an appropriate question.
Mm-hmm.
No. As your degree of ascension increases and you keep having those that you bump into, that they will, you'll co-create with creators,
mm-hmm.
your response will be, to the unascended man, well, hello, little man. I know how you feel. I used to feel the same way. However, since I've come to this place of knowing, I have now found, and you can share that, and they'll may get it or may not, but then finally, at the end of the day, your loving, compassionate conversation is, well, little man, apparently, to me, it's coming very clear, and the words that I have to share with you is, it apparently, you have defined three choices that you've worked out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, well, what are those choices? Well, you can come to a place where you lead yourself
mm-hmm.
out of this abysmal abyss that you can get past. Follow our teachings that will allow you to understand it if you don't, so you can find your happy place and even understand what bliss is. So when you get bliss, you recognize it and know what it is. Or get the hell out of the way and go jump in the pit, because they'll crank up the gas chamber for you, and you don't have to do anything. Just go on.
Mm-hmm.
And not being mean thing, but apparently, those are the choices that you are laying out for yourself
mm-hmm.
to engage and participate in. And what I'm here to tell you is, however loving we can say it is, we're good with whichever choice you think is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That starts to sound like the Democrat National Convention, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was our little dig of the day. We love the Democrats. They've created more contrast in a minute than has been in the inception of your country. So
mm-hmm.
we think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. So we're at the place. Yeah, it's at the crossroads of decision.
Now, Your caller, your participant,
mm-hmm.
will really have to be benign, because you're going to want to use this recording.
Mm-hmm.
The lines, the three lines intersecting and the angles,
mm-hmm.
those are the battle lines in this annihilation process have been drawn. Those are bold words, but they have. And if this bothers individuals who would listen,
mm-hmm.
we're not telling the whole wide world, we're just telling you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if you embrace it, wonderful. But if those words are too strong for you, tear that page out.
Mm-hmm.
Put it away for another day.
Because mm-hmm.
we're not not pushing against anything, but you're asking the question, and we're answering the question because it's worthy of an answer. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would never come up topically, even come to this place of embracing the dynamic that is the possibility that's sort of already been laid out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Very annihilating. But what's not for me, not in my universe.
What's your feeling place?
Just tired and kind of relaxed and comfy.
And yet, the winds and the waves obey your will, do they not? How'd all that wind get there?
I guess we created it.
Who's we?
Human creators.
Really?
Apparently.
Seems like a... Did you say not me?
No, I said apparently we did it.
Me? We? It ain't we.
Me?
You. Only you.
Yeah.
And see, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking... That's the example that we're talking about. And just as you usher them in and allow them in your experience, and they are, you can stop them immediately. And don't lay into this we business, because we'll ask you quickly, oh, Carolyn, do you have a mouse in your pocket? And you'll go, a mouse in my pocket? What do you mean? You say, well, you keep saying we. So the only we would have to be you and a mouse in your pocket to be our collective we. And the reason we say that is because you're going to want to come to a place, and that's a new way to say that, you're going to want to come to a place where all this power that you're wielding, all this majesty that you're realizing, all this power that you're knowing has to apply to you. Because see, if only the good things happen when it's we are co-creating, well, that means that you're less than. And you can never come into your power by saying that, well, I didn't know what I was doing, and I thought I had it all right, but I really didn't have a clue, and I'll just trust on physical to take care of everything for me, which is all right. But then you can finally come into your power and get non-physical to be a part of you, and then it would be I am. I am in charge of my destiny. I am a powerful creator. I am the inheritor of the earth. That's the promise.
Right.
So, now how do you get your promise? Well, the inheritance has already been given. You've already inherited it. But people say, oh, well, we'll work it out Judgment Day. Or, I want to live real good so that I can get my inheritance. Well, that's right, if you're going to say it that way. Well, in order to inherit, somebody's got to die. Somebody's got to be intestate. So this is a different dynamic of taking your inheritance, which you provided for yourself. But if you separate yourself from that place of power, then you run around being less than, and by default asking everyone else to help you understand how wonderful a creator you are. You say, because any time that you get somebody to say, yeah, I'll do that for you, then what's happening is you're abdicating your power to them. They're more powerful than you are. Well, it just kind of crosses up everything that you're trying to be, do, and have. From an ascension process. And it might be time to crank up your tablets, because they're getting ready to go. The too many analogies that have been striking. Folks are thinking this is a new phenomenon, and it's not. We're going to have to bring it back to a place of re-experiencing. To remember, isn't that what you were talking about in anatomy class, when you put the members back together? together. That's what it means. Remember. Well,
okay.
If you remember the turkey before you carve it up, it'll be back whole again, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, when we say it that way, it makes sense.
You
remember that beautiful bird when they put it on the table, just golden skin, glistening? And then we ate it all. There was nothing left but a carcass. But if we remember that bird, it'll be just as it was. And without time, you can do that. You see, without time, not only can you recall it, you can make it be back that way. Now.
I'm just laughing at Bob.
You want to go a little further?
Sure.
If you want to say something to your mom, you can go back to when she was here and say it to her then. As now. Boom. Then you remember. And there's no time, so that opportunity is as much your experience as causing the winds to blow in your environment. And you don't have to parallel world. See, we love this, and we're so glad y'all took to this, just like a butter to toast. You know, we're great, but the filler to make that experience dynamic and fulfilling, you've got to get the kingdoms down to make sure you know where you are in retrospect or perspective to you. Because we've spoke about that about 9 million times, the distance between you and you. But now all of a sudden we've got it to a place where it starts to make sense. By the sea, by the sea, by the beautiful sea.
Okay, and when you say going back to say something to someone,
so is that a Oceanic Flight 413 instead of 868?
Yeah. Is that a side reality or a sidebar or just a memory, a mind
game?
No,
it's not a sidebar, it's a side reality. Meaning you can go engage it.
Or is it just in your mind? You're just sort of talking in your mind?
No. Not just in your mind. You can bring back keepsakes, you can take things, you can engage, you can have a note written and say, Mama, later I'm going to think of you when you're not here. Write something down very meaningful so I'll have it forever and that I can cherish it because that would be really important for me. And then bring it back with you.
So that's not a parallel world?
No, not a parallel
it
world.
It seems a little
well, it's
safer
a problem.
Or easier? Or
it's problematic only if you have time.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing, and your kingdoms work independently as a collective. Independently as a collective. Carolyn, think of this. We have to thank our sponsors for the Bob portion of the show. What was Bob thinking when he created us? Let's do it that way, because that is. Now, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing or done or did, but yet he did it. He didn't have a clue what he's opened up, but he's tickled to death it was him.
Yeah.
And he did that before it was or it wouldn't have been. And it applied in his inner kingdom because his heartstrings felt it imminent to allow in his experience. You know, otherwise alternate Slack was going to run out of things to talk about, so that's fun.
Now, you brought up the kingdoms here when we're talking about the side realities. Is part of the side reality getting into your inner kingdom?
That's why you have duality within the kingdoms.
What's why you have duality?
That's why we brought up the kingdoms in not parallel worlding, in this worlding. Each kingdom has duality.
Mm-hmm.
So within the confines of each kingdom, side realities can be experienced
mm-hmm.
and brought back to your middle kingdom
mm-hmm.
as your now-isms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like a safer way of getting around than going through parallel worlds.
Oh, it's not safer. It's not safer. It's just a choice. It's just a choice.
So
it's going to the party. It's going to the party that's closest to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're giving us ways of traveling within this world.
And once you get real comfortable with that, then parallel opening a vortex of a black hole and a wormhole and a portal and all this ooey gooey spooky crap that many people might not engage immediately, they can start playing with it right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because some say, forget all that. I'm done with this world. I'm going to a parallel world. And we say, great, but what you're going to find over there is going to be so similar to over here, you might not know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because remember, we keep saying you take yourself with you most everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't playing when we say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where J.W.'s mother would say, now we don't mean that bad, but we mean it.
Yeah, very interesting.
It is, because there's no, and this has been down to some of the grits and gravy logistic points that we're trying to bring up. And it's not to take away from any bliss or joy or of any of the experiences that are.
Mm-hmm.
But this is for the folks that have heard and ask and answer the fast path to your joy, find out what bliss is, enjoy your contrast, create everything in your reality, allow the things you want in.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've got that down, this is your next level. This would be 201.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And many theses, many theses will be wrought.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, what you're going to do when you hem us up into a place where we start explaining some of these theories that they're trying desperately to manifest, and we start plugging in the holes to make them work,
mm-hmm.
how's that going to serve you, and what do you want to do with them when you do? That sounds to me like it would be a side reality to see how it plays out and then engage it accordingly, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it? That's just a small little tactile example.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing important going on here.
Okay. Well, Bob, are you too asleep to engage?
No, I don't think so.
Ion, any more that I could ask about this, or will I digest this and come back with questions?
Well, it's up to you. Got any holes right out of the chute?
I think you plugged them, but so I'd have to go over it.
It was a nice blow.
Yeah, absolutely. 3,000 words of flow.
And you were very focused on the phrasality of the concept and knew what you wanted out of it.
Uh-huh.
And knew how far you wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if we told you that this was a side reality that you just experienced?
I would believe it.
And how many questions did you ask? About 8?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That typically isn't how it goes, is it? Now, you're through with this side reality, and we ask you how it felt, and it was a bit twirling for you,
mm-hmm.
because you haven't sifted it out to suit you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do, you'll go, wow, that worked pretty good. That seems to be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back to your middle kingdom and go, I got it. Now we need to develop this. Now we need to develop this. Now all of a sudden the trajectory starts coming into the flow of how this work's going to go.
And
all that's had to happen is you had to catch up with you. And when you catch up with you, you'll quit pining about what it is that you can't get done and start getting excited about what you have done. What is there? 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 Well, there is what you've already got. So that's how many people can know that when they put their pen to paper, it's going to be a bestseller. Well, how do they know that? They don't know, but they know. Or they pull a bob and go, nah, I just didn't have anything else to do, so I thought I'd write these little gibberish, jabberwocky, billy balky, walkie talkie, balky locky, socky, and it becomes a great book. You see? So that's fun. That's fun. So that's duality of ever how you want to play it. Very good.
Okay. I think I'm good for that. I'll go through it and see if there's more, but that's pretty cool.
Yes, and if you notice, we had an if clause. We don't do much of that, but there was an if clause.
Uh-huh.
If that starts wrapping in the knowings that you've already accomplished, filling in the gaps, the lines and the spaces, as in your musically wrote compositions, it starts to give you all your half-step modulation, does it not? You can change keys within the same meter.
Mirror?
Meter.
Okay.
And then iambic pentameter or musical dilection. Dilection.
Okay, good. I'm good. Bob, are you ready or are we done?
Well, I didn't get anything out of that, really. So what is a sidebar?
Then start with what you want, Bob. Then
what's a sidebar?
No, it's better for you to listen to the tape because you were dozing in and out rather than tearing up what you aren't even focused on.
No,
to straighten it out for you would be nonsensical for you.
Yeah.
Nah.
So just start with any crazy thing you want, and we'll go like we normally go.
Yeah, but I was paying attention, and I was trying to figure out what the heck was being accomplished. So you got a new word, sidebar reality. What's that, Carolyn? What's a sidebar reality?
A conversation. Oh, sorry, you weren't asking us.
No, yeah. You go ahead.
No, I'm asking you, Carolyn. What's a sidebar?
We were talking about realities and sidebar realities.
There are two? Side realities and sidebar?
Right.
What was the difference?
A side reality is something
What we did tonight.
I can do. A sidebar is a Lost, something like was being portrayed on Lost.
What was that?
Bob, I'm not.
John Locke in a wheelchair in his city trying to get married to the woman from
Helen.
Married with Children, or being a spooker on an island that's a ghost guy.
Those were sidebar realities?
Yes.
Was there a main reality?
Yes, the ones that were being portrayed outside of the island of Lost.
The main reality was him in his wheelchair.
Yes.
The sidebar reality was one where he died.
Yes.
And was there another sidebar reality where he is the strange John Locke? Dead?
Well, that is the ghost guy, the smoke guy.
Yeah. Is that another one of his realities?
No.
What?
No, it's a sidebar.
Okay. The side reality, what were we saying? Helen's mainstream, then we went into the deadlock. Is that a side reality or a sidebar?
Deadlock would be a sidebar.
A sidebar. Well, how is that different from a side reality?
side realities are one you have. Okay. Let's say you have a hearing in a court of law.
Right.
The reality is the two sides present their discussion to the judge. Right?
Yeah.
Now that's what everyone participates in. Okay, that's in the room. Now, if something comes up that's sensitive, the judge can say, counsel, come forward, we're going to have a sidebar. And they'd bring the two lawyers up to the judge's podium and talk to them quietly to the side.
That's called sidebar.
That's called a sidebar. Now, what you're experiencing in Lost is a great big sidebar.
And what is that great big sidebar?
Well, you got the others that are running the temple. Then you got the ones trying to protect the island. Then you got Smoke Guy trying to make his little deals and killing everybody so their names gets marked off. Then you got the people that are popping in and out that are experiencing the whole sidebar reality that they're trying to, from an anomaly, figure out. They think they're just trying to get off the island, but they can get off the island anytime they want to, as has been portrayed with the side realities that the show is doing, with people on the flight, not on the flight, running the company, or just being a dumb cluck.
Okay, you're mixing side realities and sidebars. When you are in court and the guy has a sidebar, just the judge talks to two people. The people sitting there are watching the discussion.
Yes, but they can't hear it.
They can't hear it. But it's within their.
They can do that in chambers. You know, they can.
Right, but it's like it's within a standard reality, and that's a sidebar.
Yes.
What is a side? We're just trying to get the basic terms. Carol didn't show any interest in trying to figure out what the terms meant.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a side reality?
Is
not a side.
Okay.
No.
A side reality is when they make an announcement in the open courtroom. Okay. Big announcement of maybe a piece of evidence that's been brought forth. That would be a side reality that would change the whole direction of the trial or hearing, if you're going to have a hearing.
So a sidebar does not change the reality?
No, it does not.
A side reality changes the reality?
It certainly can. Just as the multi-oceanic flights.
I know, wait a minute. So side reality can change the reality.
Yes.
Is the side reality within the courtroom? Yes.
Can be, yes.
So what is the courtroom?
Like the island.
For
the
John
island.
Locke, what John Locke, what is the courtroom? Him with it in the wheelchair.
That's reality.
That's the courtroom.
Well, no, that's reality. The sidebar is the island.
The courtroom is reality.
Yes.
That's him in his wheelchair.
Yes.
Now, what is a sidebar experience, which is the judge talking to the lawyers, in the Locke reference? What is a sidebar that's been showed us?
Okay, the most recent one would be when they climb down the cliff.
Yes, yeah.
Seeing the names written on the ceiling of the cave.
Yeah.
That would be an example of a sidebar that no one knew.
I forgot. I forgot whether we're doing side realities or sidebar. You've got Locke.
You'll have to ask.
No. Come on, you're mixing it up. You're mixing it up. You listen. I'm going to find out what you're referring to.
Well,
follow it through.
Okay.
The reality is in court. Parallel to that, the same thing is John Locke in his wheelchair. A side reality is what? The guy going down the mountain into the cave? That's a side reality?
No, that's a sidebar.
That's a sidebar, which is the judge is talking to the guys right in front of you or in the side room. That's in your reality.
That no one else in the island knows has transpired.
Well, the people in the court see that the lawyers have left the room with the judge or are whispering to him. Okay? John Locke, nobody in the John Locke rally knows that the mad John Locke has gone down the cave. And we're talking side realities here? Is that what
that's
I'm saying?
That's a side bar, Bob.
Oh, man. So the side... I'm going to do it alphabetical. Sidebar is first. B. What is a sidebar in relation to John Locke, who's in the wheelchair, which is me in the courtroom watching this court? What's a sidebar, B, first case, in relation to John Locke in the wheelchair?
It's the smoke John Locke taking the guy down
into the cave. That's a sidebar. That's,
yes.
And a sidebar is quite obvious to the people in the court. But to Helen and John in their courtroom reality in the wheelchair, they wouldn't even know about the sidebar. So
exactly.
I don't think that's a good example of a sidebar because it's not even knowable. The fact the judge took the guys away is knowable to us in the court. So I just hold that's my objection or qualification that. Now, we have John in the wheelchair, what's the side reality? Second case, letter R, follows B. Side reality. Show me a side reality in relation to John in the wheelchair with Helen.
Okay. The side reality with Helen would be he actually went to the conference in Australia the first time.
And not run around.
Trying to kill people. Or
No. He went to the conference and tried to go in a walkabout. It didn't work. That's the conference reality I'm referring to. Is that what you're saying? That's a that's a side reality that did not happen.
No way.
All right. He didn't do that. We didn't see it. Didn't happen. But you're saying if he did do that, it'd be a side reality.
Yes, it would. Because then he wouldn't have got fired from.
Right. So we didn't see any filming of the side reality. You could say he went to the conference, but wait. He went to the conference, but he cheated and tried to go on the walkabout, and that didn't even work. Would you include that part we saw where he's arguing they won't let him go to the walkabout? Is that part of a side reality for the John?
It would be a side reality.
Okay, well then that's what you meant by going to the conference. You confuse it by going to the conference because he didn't go to a conference. He went to the walkabout. So the effort to go to a walkabout was a side reality.
Mm-hmm.
He did do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the John in the wheelchair's reality. He did go to the walkabout. He lied about it. Nobody knew he was doing that. So that's why you're calling it a side reality? Because he lied about it or something?
No. Because that reality could have been different if he actually had gone to the conference and not done the walkabout.
What do you call him going to the walkabout?
Well, that's another...
That's real reality because that's what he did.
Well, but he didn't do it because he couldn't.
Well, he tried to, and then he came back.
Okay, well, now wait.
Then he lied about it and said he did.
Wait, if he had tried it...
He did try it.
And they wouldn't let him do it.
Right.
He could have then turned right around and went to the conference. That he went to do to start with.
Yeah, and he didn't. He went home.
Not immediately.
He had the plane crash and landed in the island.
No. Not in the side reality where he's back.
Yeah, with Helen.
Fired.
Okay, so what is the side reality? How is this conference, which didn't happen, and he could have gone, but he went to try to do the walkabout. Are you including the walkabout in the side reality? The fact that he tried to go to a walkabout?
Yes.
Okay, so the side reality was that he did go to Australia. That's part of the John in the wheelchair. That's part of his reality. It becomes side reality at what point? When he lied, when he didn't go to the conference.
Well, actually, when the knives show back up in the lost luggage, when he meets the surgeon.
Yeah.
That would be a portion of that side reality, but it became reality when the knives came back. From lost luggage later.
Okay, we have to go back. What is a side reality to the John in the kitchen wheelchair? Going to the conference, which didn't happen, but he did go to the conference, started to. That's part of his reality.
He did the walkabout.
What was that?
The side reality to to that would be that he tried to do the walkabout where he was going to go kill things.
Yeah, because the reality was he was going to the conference. He flew to the conference. And the side reality is that he tried to go the walkabout.
Correct.
And he had knives with him?
Yes.
Right? So he comes back. That's a side reality where the lying reality, what he actually did, and he comes back. It's part of his reality, though. Nobody knew it, but it was part of his mainstream reality.
Correct.
Yeah. And then he came back, and then I don't remember the knives being shown to Jack Shepard. He just met Jack Shepard because he lost
his luggage. They weren't shown to Jack Shepard.
Yeah, but they had lost luggage, and he met. Now, how is that?
The luggage didn't come up until a few days later.
Okay, what about the luggage? That's just part of his reality.
That was the confirmation to his soon-to-be-maybe wife of that he did not complete the reality that she understood he completed.
Yeah, he did not complete the reality she understood. Okay, so
that was a side reality, and then those knives and the silver suitcase business was bringing her to a side reality because it was different than what she knew he had gone and done.
Is that a side reality for him?
For her.
Oh, okay. Now, so John has a reality, but other people have the side realities in relation to him.
As well, yes.
As well as what?
As well as...
Him? Did he have a side reality?
His side reality was that he went to the conference, but he didn't go to the conference. He went to the walkabout, and then they wouldn't let him do it.
Right.
So his reality was he was really going to go kill things with his knives on the hunting thing. Well, the side reality was they wouldn't let him because they couldn't do the wheelchair business.
Wasn't his side reality to me? It was his reality. He just was going to go and do it, and they wouldn't let him, and he had to come home.
But that change. His reality was he was going to sneak to Australia and do this fun thing. But when it was not allowed in his reality, that became a side reality.
It was not allowed in his reality. And then you go,
he got it.
It was not allowed in his reality by who?
Him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he could have gone.
So he didn't go, and he came home, got fired, and his wife found out. You're calling that a side reality, but a sidebar is this hallucinated world or some other possibility as the black smoke, John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's one comp. And what is the point of making these distinctions?
Just to confuse you, Bob.
Yeah. Where does it get us? Why are you pointing this out?
Well, we're pointing it out because in 209 sessions from this section, you'll go, okay, I'm with you. Okay, got it. And that's okay.
In 209 sessions from here.
From this one.
Which is 464.
Correct. 464.
Yeah. So anyways, you're talking now, these sidebars and side realities
have all to do with the interaction with the three kingdoms in this world.
In this world. Is it what you call, are these discussions of what you call the duality in this world?
The duality within the kingdoms.
Not the duality in this reality, this world we're in.
Right.
Duality within the kingdoms.
You don't have duality in this world. You have duality within the three kingdoms.
But not within this world. You have duality with another world.
No.
The duality of this world is a whole other parallel world, right?
No.
Well, it has to be, because the dualities otherwise are within the kingdom.
How do you have duality when you have millions of worlds?
Well, how come there's two of everything? No, I wouldn't say that. This world has another world. It's two of this world.
There's more than two, Bob.
We used to say it was two. Now there's more.
There was always more, Bob. We just had to start somewhere.
Yeah, okay. So now you're saying there's two within the kingdoms, which is within this world.
Yes.
Is there more than two within the kingdoms, but you don't start off with that?
No. within this plane of knowing, within the three kingdoms, there's only duality within those three kingdoms.
So the only duality in this world possible is the duality within the three kingdoms, which are subsets of this world, or part of this world, or the factors in this world.
Yes, that's correct. Because when you get to, when you start dividing it within the kingdoms, Bob, you have only two choices. Okay, I'm going to the beach, I'm not going to the beach. Okay.
Right.
And then every step of the way, you decide if you're going to take one more step toward the beach or not. Okay? And I'm going to eat now or I'm not going to eat now. And then you define and decide each one of those choices within your middle kingdom. Now, you could start out in your middle kingdom to the beach. And then it could start coming a gale, wind.
Okay, hold it. So this term sidebar and side reality are terms for the duality in the kingdoms?
Yes, very good.
So we're talking about duality in the kingdoms when we come up with sidebar and side realities. Two kinds of realities, or is that the only kind of
other duals? No.
So, we're talking, we had heard about duality in this world a month ago, and there's duality, two worlds and more, but there's a duality in this world. Now we know the duality is measured, experienced within the three kingdoms.
Only.
And two aspects of the duality in the three kingdoms are termed sidebar and side realities. They are not dual to each other. They're just...
Now that's interesting. Now the truthful answer to that is, sometimes a sidebar can affect a side reality, okay? Sometimes that's the case. So if you're going to be that specific, which we'd love that you are, there are the dynamics to where a sidebar can have a dual effect and affect the side reality and vice versa.
But we're talking about the duality in this world, in the kingdoms, and sidebar. And we don't have a term, two terms for the duality, sidebar and side reality. They are not the terms for the duality within the kingdoms.
Correct.
They're examples, they're effects of the duality.
Yes, they are experiences of the duality. That is correct. Good.
Okay, so we have all this going on, and the labyrinth of mind has to figure that out or something, or make choices.
Or not.
Yeah, or not figure it out.
That's duality.
Figure it out or figure it not. Now, we're stuck in this world with these little dynamics. How does that get us to traveling to the parallel world? Does that have anything to do with it?
No.
We don't have to align the three kingdoms to do parallel worlding.
Never.
So why are we talking about these three kingdoms and all that?
So you can remember it.
Remember that's what's happening here.
No. Remember how when you parallel travel, you wanted to remember. That's how you remember.
You remember by knowing about the three kingdoms and the duality within
them. By sorting it out within the three kingdoms. Because if you can do it within the three kingdoms, then you don't have to ask Carolyn if they're parallel worlds.
You say if you do it, you mean if you can sort out the duality in the three kingdoms.
Yes.
You're saying that's a prerequisite for parallel worlding.
No, it is not. You can parallel world, but you want to remember parallel worlding.
Right. It's a prerequisite for remembering. So we were chided for not remembering for many months, and the reason was we knew nothing about the three kingdoms.
Because you didn't ask about it yet.
So you had to tell us. Because we never even thought of asking.
We laid it out, and you got it 60 sessions later.
You laid out what? The three kingdoms?
The conversation of the destiny of annihilation.
Well, that happened tonight.
No, it did not.
It was discussed before?
Carolyn, when was that done?
She's long gone. I don't know where she is. She hasn't been participating.
It was done about 60 plus sessions ago.
Oh, okay, so Because Carolyn thought it hadn't been done. That's why she did it tonight.
Where did she get it from?
A list.
Well, the list came from us.
I know. And it was not explored. It was just given a title.
Yeah.
Not explored.
Yeah, there was a reason.
A reason why it wasn't explored?
Yeah.
And what was that reason?
She didn't ask.
Oh, okay. So, but where you brought up the Three Kingdoms, we didn't know about it, we wouldn't have brought up. You brought up the Three Kingdoms a month ago
or
so.
But you asked.
We asked after they were brought up, maybe. We asked what
they
were referring
to.
Well,
listen to your recording and figure it out. I mean, I'm not going to fight with you regarding it. The dynamic was introduced and considered, and then questions brought those place of asking.
The terms Three Kingdoms were introduced by you, right? You agree to that?
After you asked, it was an answer to a question from Carolyn, I think.
Oh, and she didn't know it would have that answer.
Well, otherwise she'd have known the answer. She wouldn't
right.
have asked.
She didn't know it had that answer, so... So she, so the Ion brought them up in response to an answer.
No, in response to a question.
At questions, and you would say that that meant she was part of the causing of the bringing up of it, or she was the cause. Are you saying she had an awareness of it, even though she? Are you saying she had an awareness of it because
it wouldn't have been in her reality
if she hadn't asked the question?
Exactly. And if she hadn't have been ready for that answer, she wouldn't have asked the question.
Yeah, now that's... why bring that into human consciousness? Because they don't know that she didn't know about it, but you're claiming
yes,
she did.
Bob, well, and what is that? That would be a sidebar.
We'd have to connect answers to questions or something. You have to connect...
Well, we said from session 4, wasn't it, that answers would be questioned?
Yeah.
Well, that's what that means.
Answers would be questions, just arguing with authority, but you're saying that...
No, it is not.
Answers will be questioned?
Yes.
Does that mean the questions will bring out the answers?
No, the answers will bring out the questions.
Yeah, and she started with a question.
Yes.
So that's not the answer.
And it was answered, and now you have questions.
Oh, the answer, evoked new questions.
Right, because you didn't have all these questions until she asked and we answered her questions. No questions.
We didn't have all these questions until she asked and you gave an answer.
Correct, so answers will be questioned.
By us. Your answers will be questioned.
Or vice versa, we ask you questions too, because we don't know why in the world you get crossways with things you get crossways with. So we asked you as well. It's an engaging process. All the goal is to bring you into a place where you can divide these into categories that you can work with. So you can get to the place of understanding what you're trying to figure out that you want to know. You haven't even decided you want to know this stuff yet.
Well, we've been asking about it. Wait, we've been asking, so that means we do know about it.
Apparently.
Yeah. We do know about it, but you could say we can't remember that we knew about it, but we do know about it.
Sometimes that's not the case, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you have to apply the printing press to it to see if it's real or not.
So, I don't know what Carolyn got. She let it ride. We've distinguished what the words mean. I don't know what she got out of that. To me, she didn't get anything out of it because... Well, we now got the definitions. Now I'm trying to figure out what's it got to do with anything. So apparently we wait for more instructions on understanding the Three Kingdoms, and that somehow allows us to parallel world.
She said she got 3,000 words out of it that laid out the destiny of annihilation.
Yeah, but a lot of it was talking about Carolyn, and there was not really 3,000 words that you could write, if you mean in terms of presenting a topic.
Well, we aren't asking you about writing anything.
Well, you'll see. She'll look at it. She's done this many times. Looked at it and said, I reviewed it. There's only 100 words there that I can make sentences out of. Because there were a lot of digressions. And you didn't even get to the definitions of what it was. I mean, there was no precision on Carolyn's part on finding what the heck you were, what's the sidebar, and what's the side reality. So we've got sidebars is B, that's John going down the cave. Side realities is going and not going to the walkabout. Does mainstream John know about? Is he experiencing this sidebar down the cave?
No.
But it is there.
Yeah.
And what is the point of showing it's there?
I guess the point of the series Lost, Bob. We were just using that because that was the one that you're all engaged in.
Okay, so John in the wheelchair doesn't know about it, but is the sidebar a reality?
Can be.
Yeah, so...
If we answer that question, then we're going to spoil your Lost, and you don't like that.
Oh, okay. So the explanation of the relationship between sidebar reality and side realities and main reality, it will be unfolded in the show.
Yes, it will. That's very significant. And the division of the kingdoms, which has already been pretty well laid out, but will be even more clearly separated.
But these kingdoms are not, those words are not used by Abrams, the word three kingdoms. So you think, so those words may not be used?
No.
But you think it'll apply to what you think are the three kingdoms?
Well, not what we think. We know what the three kingdoms are. But once you follow this out, it will be able to be logistically in your mind's eye, divisible within the inner, the outer, and the middle kingdom.
Okay, so did J.J. Abrams have the three kingdoms model? No. Does he have the side?
You don't know that.
I'm assuming he doesn't because we're the first to hear it. We're the first to hear it.
Who's the ass and who is you and who is me?
Yeah, we're the first to hear it. Three kingdoms have never been heard before.
That's because you like it on the leading edge. If you got it third hand, you'd be sick of it. You go, yeah, I really created a great non-physical.
Wait a minute,
I get 2 week old news.
Yeah. But wait a minute, you're saying that you're saying for us it's never heard before, but that's only for us to beef us up so we can remain interested? Is that what you're saying?
Good luck with that, Bob. You certainly aren't interested tonight. So.
No, I'm interested. I'm pursuing this very rigorously.
Yeah.
See, so I don't know why you said not interested. So here, no, this. So J.J. Abrams, has he heard someone discussed three kingdoms to him?
No.
Has he heard someone discuss the word sidebar reality versus side realities? No.
No.
Right. So we have these terms, and they're a formula for understanding something that prepares
lost.
It for parallel world.
No. Lost.
Oh, you're only making up this to understand Lost.
Yeah.
So we would not talk in the radio show about sidebar and side realities.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's only to understand Lost?
No, it was just the example that y'all were working on this red hot second.
Yeah, Lost. But
yeah, we can make it be about important things if you prefer.
Right. So the side realities and the sidebar realities, terms you've come up with, J.J. Abrams is illustrating sidebar realities and side realities unwittingly, as far as we're concerned, because he's not using our terms.
Now, we could use this if you want to redact this, because you didn't like any of it, so it probably never would go anywhere anyway, so we'll just do it this way. Well, let's do it in your situation, if you want to.
Right, okay, one thing. You said that Carolyn, that this was a sidebar reality doing this discussion. I think you said that. Well, it was too subtle to be considered different.
Oh.
But within language, I guess if you consider language transporting you into different realities, she had a different linguistic topic, and you're saying that was a sidebar, not a side reality.
Let's clean this up. Let's make it back to something you can brace right here, right now.
Yeah.
You had an opportunity with your collection.
Right.
Okay? That's your reality.
Right, I had an opportunity to. No, I had it.
No, just stop. That's what it is. Your reality. On your birthday, you found out your reality now included what was. was the outcome that you had to get to, correct?
Yeah, the books were had no story.
Well, don't even go into all that. You're messing up your tape. So, fine. You got that's your reality. Now, a side reality is having them go directly to Hawaii, having them go to you, me and JW down wherever.
Now, that side reality... That side reality exists because it can be thought of?
Yes, well, you considered it.
So that's a reality. That's a thinking. It therefore,
it's a side reality. It's an opportunity.
Was going straight to Hawaii something that existed immediately because it was an option, and it's still there, sitting there, ready to be experienced.
But now that's become a side reality because it hasn't occurred yet.
All right. So did you say that going to Hawaii was a sidebar or just a side reality?
No, side reality. Here's the sidebar. The sidebar is when you 3-2-1 the experience, the contrast that you were dealing with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You figured out the fastest path to your joy that you could allow into your experience. And then that worked out to be okay. The way you chose it was perfect. The sidebar.
That was sidebar?
You start off
saying this is a sidebar, and you're describing how it worked out.
Yes, but the sidebar of how it worked out was the amount of money was less than you knew to be your reality.
Yeah.
The amount of space you required and the money that it took monthly to maintain that was less than you thought it would be.
Right.
That would be a sidebar. Because you didn't even know that occurred until it was done. They talked about that privately without you, and yet it had an effect on your reality.
Right, so that was a sidebar. So in Lost, John taking Sawyer down to the cave is a sidebar in relation to John's in the wheelchair with Helen reality.
Yes, very good. And yet it's still part of Sawyer's reality.
Part of Sawyer's reality, but not part of John's reality.
Exactly, but that's the point of the sidebar, you see.
See, Sawyer in this case was Christina, going to the thing and seeing what they decided.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a reality that's connected to me, that was going on today.
Yes, it was. And has been going on for several days.
Well, I don't know why. So didn't it just happen when they got there?
Interesting. See, if to answer that question, you'd have had to be there for that to be in your reality to gauge how that was.
So why do you say it's been going on for a few days?
Because it didn't start today.
Oh, what don't I know started a couple of days ago?
Well, did you contact him and say, come move it today?
Oh, a couple of days ago I told him to contact. Yeah, so that's...
Yeah, Bob.
It began when I asked him to when I contacted and put the order in.
Yeah, that became your opportunities, your side realities that you were considering.
No, these are sidebars. These are sidebars.
No, they're not sidebars.
Come on, no. The sidebar is the fact that I got less expense, okay? I'm sticking with that's the sidebar.
That all got changed without you even knowing.
Right.
That's a sidebar.
A side reality is going to Hawaii. Side reality is going directly to Hawaii.
Or to JW's. Those would be two side realities. Good. That's good. And that was in that this particular situation occurred in your outer kingdom.
Yeah.
Because you had, this came sort of out of the blue. You're like, well, you know, if you'd have known this would have been the case, I wouldn't have done this way. But it did, and it did, no problem. But that came at you from outside your outer kingdom. Well, not outside your outer kingdom, but from your outer kingdom, which was outside of your middle kingdom or your inner kingdom.
Right, so that was a that sidebar and side realities are aspects of the outer kingdom.
In that particular case, yes.
Yeah.
Now you can flip that around back onto the inner kingdom, and that would be the interaction of what felt right for you inside.
Yeah, that was the talking to JW.
And Carolyn, because Carolyn was more involved probably than J.W. was.
Yeah, and Carolyn and Christina.
Certainly.
So that was entertaining. That was like trying to find our path to joy.
Yes, that you could live with and be happy with and not and make everybody happy all the way through.
Right.
It was like, I don't want, burn them. You know, if that's going to cause all that, get rid of them. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, burn them where they sit.
But we didn't want
in your path.
Yeah.
But that was not the fastest path to your individual joy.
Okay, so what we're describing now, the inner kingdom, and
yes.
What is the sidebar and the side reality in the inner kingdom in this case?
There doesn't always have to be a sidebar.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't always have to be, but the sidebar was the conversation within the conclusion that you brought to your middle kingdom, which is how it turned out.
Yeah, I didn't participate in that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
what went on in the outer kingdom, them resolving the price and getting a list.
Yes, and that's right. That's right. And that's why we divide it within the three kingdoms, because those aspects come into play.
Yeah, but can you define the aspect that was in of that, getting the books in a cheaper place, smaller place? What aspect of that was the inner kingdom?
The joy that you experienced when it worked out to be less and easy and not a hassle or a problem or a mess.
Well, that's the result. That's the inner kingdom is assessing the result.
No, because not necessarily, because it's not over yet.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
See, it's not complete.
You mean the books aren't here?
Or you haven't been to the storage there to see that they're actually there.
Right.
So that's part of your knowing or understanding, but not necessarily part of your reality.
Right. And the reality is outer kingdom? See, part of your reality. Which kingdom does the word reality refer to?
All of them, but in this particular case, it's still ongoing. It's not settled.
Okay, so...
Not netto complete yet.
Not what?
Netto complete.
Yeah. So the inner kingdom doesn't have any sidebar in this case, or any side realities. Can you just say simply what the inner kingdom achieved or experienced in this situation?
A very marvelous place of peace for you.
But that is at the end. It's not over, but that's a result. The inner kingdom judges what happened in the outer kingdom.
Yes, and the emotions wrought. Because what you wanted was a simple, easy way for this to get worked out and nobody have to really do much of anything to make it so. You know, it's like, okay, outer kingdom says, move it. Okay, inner kingdom says, oh, great, here we are, now we got to do all this stuff. And then it has to work out within the middle kingdom.
Right.
Meaning of how to do it. So you considered many possibilities. Nothing wrong with any of them. All good. The inner kingdom had to settle it so that everybody was happy. No, mostly you. And we say everybody, we mean all of you happy. You could live with the outcome. You could deal with this. That was okay. This was okay. No harm, no foul, no problem. All's right and well with the world. Good. Done. And then the sidebar was that it got even less. So good. But still...
Sidebar in the outer kingdom.
Yes. And now your desire still may be to have your grubby hands on them. In your zip code where you are.
Yeah.
So that's just a little extra step of unfolding, which is all right. It's perfectly all right.
Yeah. Now, all this... You don't understand, you know, I just went, nah, and it happened. So why have all this talk of three kingdoms and duality and all this stuff, this complication you're saying is necessary to ease the labyrinth of your mind for parallel worlding and being able to come back, I guess.
If you can re-put it back together in your three kingdoms, you'll always be able to get it back home from another world.
Okay, the process of putting it back together, we don't know what that is yet, right?
Yes, you did it with your process, with your moving your things around. You dealt with all three kingdoms to move them where they are today.
Well, the inner kingdom was the feeling of what was right.
Yes.
Yeah. And where is the middle kingdom?
What felt good.
What's the middle kingdom in this?
Is your reality that you ended up with. The choice, the kingdom that you chose.
Well, that was sort of the sidebar that was happening in the outer. The outer kingdom is what I ended up with. Oh, no, it's a combination of my satisfaction from the inner kingdom and the thing in the outer kingdom.
Yeah.
The middle kingdom.
That brought the information to you saying, love you, but you got to move them.
What was that? The outer kingdom
was where, how it came to you, which is, I love you very much, but you got to move the stuff. I got to have the space.
Right, and the middle kingdom is the result. The middle kingdom is the result?
It's the now. It's the right now.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
So I don't see why we need to have all these complications, divisions. Yeah, I don't know why we have to have
this. Well, then you don't. You don't. But apparently you do, or you'd remember parallel travel.
So is it just in our, me and Carolyn's case, that we need about need this?
No, you're going to find it's going to be for everybody. But
this three kingdom knowledge will be necessary for everybody to figure themselves out so they can remember the parallel world they're already doing.
Yes, but there may be some. Number one doesn't seem to have a problem with it.
And I don't even know what he's doing, you know.
Correct, but what he's doing seems to be working because it's appropriate. So good. You know, people don't know what you do, and yours works, so it's okay.
Right.
It's not a problem. But if someone could get that,
which brings up a point,
have to understand the three kingdoms, great.
Right.
But many, you'll find many will.
Won't need the three kingdoms, right?
Well, they won't need it, but they will enjoy it, understanding that dynamic, so they get it all.
Even though they got it without it.
Well, it makes it simpler to explain.
Oh, okay. So, what was for the Irish girl, and then there was that. Oh, yeah. It's, since I don't know what Chad's talking about, and it's none of my business in a way, it does heighten up indifference to each other's reality because he's off in his whole world, and I wouldn't know if he was describing it.
Well, that's why we said that you are responsible for your world, not everyone else.
Yeah, and so that's an example. And if everybody gets into parallel worlding and everybody has a different version of what's going on, nobody knows what anybody's doing. And parallel worlding is a concept that helps people get fragmented so they don't have to be concerned about someone else.
Which is great.
Yeah, okay. What?
But one thing to remember, and we won't confuse it, this is a simple thing. One thing to remember is once you become that ascended, the capital M-A-N...
I don't know how you would only know yourself. You'd never know whether you were to anybody else, because everybody's...
Correct, Bob, but here's one way you'll know, is you'll find yourself less and less and less willing to share your ascended knowledge.
Yeah, so what would you talk to people about?
You wouldn't about that. You'd listen to where they are.
Yeah, but if they get like me and start, they don't have anything to talk about, they listen, everybody's just sitting around listening, no one will say anything. Then what will people talk about?
You won't have to talk about, you'll have your kingdom, your heaven on earth as it is in heaven, and you'll be talking about how wonderful heaven is, and what new bliss, fun thing you've done today, and what manifestation you allowed today, and how your world just gets better and better and better and better.
That's what everybody will be saying.
And that's a good day.
Right. Now, this Irish girl, Angela, the heck was she going through? Or is it another world?
She was dividing her world. Her block was this wall of water. She attached the elements of the planet to help her mind understand what she was experiencing.
Okay, hold it. When I heard her, email, and then heard her talking, emailing, but heard it, I guess, more when we talked to her. We didn't know until we talked to her. I said, here's a schizoid, disconnected one. This is her interpretation of what she thinks Ion is referring to. And I have no interest in it. And she's talking just to Ion, that's okay. And don't know what to say to her about any of her thing. But I think, to me, an ascended person is one who gets over describing, doesn't try to tell everybody what they're doing, talks about something.
She was asking.
Right, but it didn't matter. We didn't understand her because we wouldn't know what she was talking about even if we did. It was all her own subjectivity.
Sure. Any more than you knew that Kelly was with her new lover in the essence of her dream with the owls. See, you didn't know what Kelly was talking about either.
Right,
but interesting.
Well, what's interesting to me is it's Ion. We found out later, after Ion went away, that there was a person lying in her bed. Did Ion know when Ion mentioned the peripheral vision? And I thought you were talking about something within her dream.
No,
you were talking about what you were talking about. You knew about the body in her bed,
of course, and that's what ushered in the
dream,
the dream of the owls. Yes.
And that's what she said. It was she was doing something with him, and then the owl thing came up. And you were saying, well, we know what the owls meant, and it related to the peripheral body.
Yeah.
That's what you said to her.
Yes.
Yeah, so that meant you understood the dynamics. So now why are you... Oh, yeah, I didn't know what she was talking about. I knew she had a dream, but I actually did know what she was talking about. She had a dream about owls. Like, why did you say I didn't know? I didn't know what the peripheral vision was, in fact.
Correct.
I just thought it was something in the dream. Okay, so I didn't
know
that.
But it was still interesting. After it unfolded, your middle kingdom heard all that, engaged it, and went, that's very interesting. Wow. And that's now in your middle kingdom.
Okay.
You don't have to understand it completely, but you got the rest of the story.
Yeah, but listen, when you say, you occasionally go, you do it often, you say, well, that's very interesting. I always find it's a silly thing. What is it? What is the process of interestingness? You know, that doesn't lead anywhere. It's interesting.
No. What does
this has never been asked before. What is the process of interestingness indicated by the phrase, that's interesting?
We'll tell you.
Okay.
What is inter?
Inner kingdom?
No. What does the word inter mean?
Somehow going inner.
Well, that's not.
Oh, no, between, interplay.
Good. And what is rest?
Don't know.
When you go to bed, what do you do?
Okay, that kind of rest. Okay, yes. Between rest.
Yes. When something is
interesting. Now what's ing?
Ing is changes it into a verb tense of ing. Interesting means is a process of between rests.
Yeah, you're not rested.
Interesting.
So interesting means you're slightly agitated, or it starts a movement that doesn't get resolved.
Or it brings you to a place between rests.
Is that resting? That place between rests?
Would be interesting. Good.
Is that place between rests restful?
No.
Okay.
No.
It brings you to a place between rests, meaning you're suspended.
Yes.
And maybe puzzled.
And when we say, isn't that interesting? That means
we're left hanging. That means we're left hanging.
No. That when we say interesting, that means that non-physical says you're full of shit and you're not going to get it from there. So we'll say, isn't that interesting? So you'll come to a different place where you can get out of your shit and understand what the hell it is you're actually trying to talk about.
Right. So that's what's irritating. When people go, that's interesting, they usually say, I see something, but I'm not going to talk about it with you because it might cause a problem between us.
You
know what I mean?
It's
like the thoughts I'm getting from the fact that I'm saying is interesting is something I'm going to keep to myself.
Or
that's usually what people, that's the hypocrite. And I say, well, let's go into it. You know, if it's interesting, how come you don't want to talk about it? But you're telling me, well, people, when people say that's interesting, they say, I ain't talking about that.
Well, or that they know that it won't enter into any of their kingdoms. Trying to convince you that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they know that'll become contentious. That we're we'll get into an argument over why it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't have the time now to get into it, so I'll just say that's interesting.
Correct. And when we do it, it's hopefully it's
and
not.
See, when you do it, is it like that? Are you?
No. No, no. When we do it, it's trying to diffuse it so you'll think about it a different way and go, well, let's go into it. If it's interesting, let's go into it. And then you, in a very short window of time, because you're probably the smartest person on the planet, Bob.
No, I don't. Look, I'm a dummy. You know
no,
that.
No.
In certain languages, like me and James couldn't follow. We wouldn't have been able to do the cave discussion because we didn't have any rudimentary knowledge of chemistry like Carolyn could.
Correct.
So we were dumb in that topic.
But that's not dumb. That just wasn't interesting to you.
Yeah, which I'm willing to question and say, well, I'll figure out what make it interesting to you. That's why I don't
know. Well, but then you're forcing it, you see. And if it's you're forcing it, then you get like Angela, and you're trying to explain it so it's interesting. And if you're not interested, then it doesn't matter what she's going to say. It's going to be like, well, that was fun. Now
all right,
what?
So I got so if I got to be the, and I'm the smartest person on the planet, I certainly got there pretty 3-2-1 process. Didn't even have an interest in the competition almost.
Yeah, well, and interested in creating the competition.
Yeah. Well, yeah, saying, well, here, I select these people to be in the race. Zappa, McLuhan, you know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
The chart is Bob's finalist.
Yes, and there's no problem with that, but that's a perfect scenario of kingdom interactions for you, and it works perfect for you, and we like it very good.
Yeah,
no
you mean,
question, no
that
problem.
Chart is a chart of my interplay of my three kingdoms.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And the bars and sidebars thereof, because your chart's been flowing along just perfectly, but yet you have these little twists and turns within it, and you go, well, now, wait a minute. Now, in my chart, it says that I'm going to be speaking to the nations about something,
right.
And I don't know how in the hell I'm going to get there from there, and no one's called me to run anything. I've said I run everything, but I don't know how I'm going to get there from now.
Right.
But then you move it to your outer kingdom, but your inner kingdom says your heart emotions are pulled. Like, wow, that'd be great. I think I would really like that. That sounds enjoyable to me. Mm. I don't want to do any work regarding it, but if it's a matter of a process of just showing up and
talking,
you know, and dinner's going to be served, then yeah, I can move that to my middle kingdom pretty easily.
I can be an interesting dinner companion.
Indeed, if the food's good, it's something that we eat. And then you can bring it into, even in that middle kingdom, having a sidebar, which in case the host said, you start talking, and the host looks at you condescendingly and says, well, gosh, Bob, isn't that interesting? And you'd say, the sidebar would be, well, I'm so glad you think it's interesting. Let's go into it.
Yeah.
And then that would could become a sidebar.
Yeah.
And he might say, well, you know what? After dinner, we'll go into the study and we'll chit chat about it, and we'll figure out your bullshit and how bullshitty it is. And I'll straighten you out on how it's just bullshit. And we'll have a good conversation, and we'll show you how interested we were in your dynamic that didn't make sense from my host to speaking.
Right,
from my middle kingdom. Good.
Yeah, that sounds like my dialogue with Buzz right now.
Indeed.
Right. So back to why did you bring up, you were starting to say, well, Bob, you're the smartest person on the planet, probably. Where were you going to go with that? Because that we got sidebarred.
Well, we finished it. That from your place of questioning everything.
Right.
Is the source or the balance or the fulcrum, the balancer of knowing.
And that's what got me to being the smartest person on the planet.
Yeah, because you're so smart, you know what you don't know.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn smart.
Yeah, and I know how to not let it get in the way by denying it.
you hope that's your occasion. Many times that's the case.
Yeah.
Sometimes you cross yourself up with yourself, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you always, at the end of the day, figure it out. It may take you 200 more readings to get there, but that's okay. You have no hurry. You're
okay.
Good.
Yeah. So, now, but saying
sooner or later you get it. That's the short version.
Yeah. So I'm interested in the way I understand the statement that I'm one of the smartest people on the planet, or the smart, is the fact that I don't hang on anything, but question everything, engage everything as much as possible. That is intelligence. I don't stop, is what you're saying, I guess.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's the essence of knowing.
Yeah, now, we've discussed
if
how...
If you didn't question McLuhan, you'd have never known what in the hell he was talking about.
Yeah, if I didn't go and meet him, you mean.
Well, no.
A question. No, question. Think about it.
And then go, well, what did he mean by this? Or what does that word mean? Or
yeah.
What the hell is this? And that doesn't make any sense. Well, he said over here this, and there he said over here that. Now, what does this have to do with that? And if
yeah.
it was just the printing press and the problems thereof and the means that got caught from this place of becoming, why couldn't you just get rid of this and negate that, and then you wouldn't have this damn conversation, and then the children wouldn't be quite as screwy as they apparently seem to be. You know, they can't even talk to themselves. How could they come from this ascended being that had knowing of all that was and straightened out every mean that could ever occur from the whole world, the life of Riley as we know it, if it couldn't even, you know, if you're that damn smart, why aren't you already rich, Marshall?
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna do it like that, but you questioned, sieved, ciphered, applied, listened, learned, considered, engaged, rewrote it, refigured it, recalculated, mm-hmm. made it your own.
Right.
You made it your own. That's why we played with you months ago with the however.
Yeah.
Kind of like you run around here quoting Marshall McLuhan, and you're three times further ahead than he ever got. And yet the best you got is a McLuhanism quote.
You mean that's all I could come up with, the point how I was way past him?
Apparently.
Yeah. Okay, but
you were just being soft with that thing.
No, the whole process of me engaging McLuhan, a lot of people do it with their chosen mentors or whatever they're interested in, right?
Well, sometimes, yes.
But so you're saying I really sieved it.
Yes.
And
you would say it would be, this is not a Marshall McLuhanism, this would be a Dobbsism.
Yeah.
And make it be that, and not worry about what anybody else thought.
No, you're saying I should do that, or I did do that.
We don't know, and we don't care. Oh. We're just pointing it out.
You're not saying should. You're saying it. No, you're not saying should do it. I may have done it,
but yeah. Well, you're saying
Dobbsism, right?
We're skirting that off.
Well,
the side,
in McLuhan,
we don't want to make it be what it's about. We want to tell you what it was.
Oh, what it was, and what it was is that I didn't make it a Dobbsism. I guess, yeah. So I would say that a Dobbsism is the creation of the ion phenomenon. That's a Dobbsism. That's an environment
mm-hmm.
that I created with
okay.
Carolyn and J.W.
Good. And it's serving you well. It's serving
yeah.
you well. Because just in a matter of a very simple conversation about a conversation about a conversation, you've got the kingdoms, you've got the bars, the side realities, side bars, the dynamics and how they apply, and the knowledge that it's going to take to be able to explain it from your very own world and dynamic through example of, well, I don't know how full of shit you are, but I'm so full of shit, I figured it out.
Right. Now, are you saying we got it in the one tonight's conversation?
Sure.
Yeah, just tonight. I thought you meant the last 10 months. Okay.
Oh, gracious. No. It's
okay.
Been,
so I got that from Carolyn's conversation. Like, what?
In the last 10 months, there's been worlds wrought.
Right, right. You're saying that I got what we just did now from Carolyn's conversation
yes.
with Ion. Yes.
You can now ask her and poke at her and say, see, I told you didn't get it. You got the words, but it doesn't mean anything. But now I know what it really means, and this is how it applies.
Well, okay, and that brings up something.
Okay.
Yeah, now that's what's interesting is that you made a distinction a while ago that Carolyn's into the being, and I'm into the knowing.
Yeah.
And I recognize the difference. So I need to know it. That's what gives me the satisfaction of knowing what the words are for. I may never experience it or be
well,
it, but Carolyn will be
got
it.
Got a better shot at it.
Yeah,
yes.
But that's my way of getting to the being. Whereas
yes.
Carolyn doesn't need to sort out and become the knowing place to do
right.
to be the being.
She could walk out of the house and take a walk and find herself at the beach. And she would know how to be at the beach. You would never go out of your house to unless you knew how to get to the beach.
Right.
And the way that you wanted to go and the path that you went on and what was going to be around and the
what to take with me.
And what I would bring back.
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. How many pennies I need for how many Snicker bars I may have to buy on the side. And,
now, Carolyn will walk out with no preparation.
And just go.
And go. And then what would happen to her in that situation?
She'd get there and she'd go, wow, that's fun. Look, Bob, we're at the beach. Isn't this fun? We were just taking a walk and we showed up at the beach. And our clothes are okay. Why don't we play a little bit? There might be something fun in the water. Well, if you were going to see a turtle in the water, that would have to be mapped and planned or you wouldn't go.
Right.
She can just happen along in the water and find the great old couple of hundred year old turtle to come and talk to her.
Now, she would have to bring her bathing suit. Well, I guess she'd be wearing it, so it'd be okay.
Well, I was fixing to say that's about your foundational garment these days, is it not?
Yeah, so she has her bathing suit. Yeah, so she can go and do it.
Sure.
I think I sort of do that, but I do. She makes it simple. She's not going to have
a
Snicker bar.
It's a timed thing. It's a know where you're going.
Yeah. Oh, did you blip out? I'll wait for a second there and see what's happening. Okay, we'll have to call you back.
Us?
Oh, okay, you're back?
We said...
No, you've been silent for a minute.
Oh,
you
were talking.
I was saying, hey, I can't hear you. And I saw
No, we were just rolling along and you said, wait a second, I heard that.
Yeah.
And so we waited and then we were waiting a second because you told us to wait a second.
Yeah, I was saying, oh, wait a second, looks like you got cut off. And then I waited and then you didn't say anything. So I said, well, I started speaking to you in case you could hear me, though you were cut off. I was saying, I guess you're cut off, I will call you now. And I was call you back, and then I was about to call you, and then so I don't know why. You don't know why. You stopped for some reason.
You told us to stop.
Yeah, okay, didn't know that. But what we were saying, Carol, so she, I have to map it out. She doesn't. So that's a level, that's being? She doesn't need to know what's going to happen.
No, she doesn't, and actually likes it better when she doesn't.
Right. Well, I sort of like that, but
you certainly do. But you have, if that were the case, then you could not, you would not be able to control the experience. And if you can't control the experience, let me give you something.
Are you saying I'm more of a control freak than Carolyn?
Well, it varies.
Yeah.
If Carolyn straightened the pillows perfectly.
Yeah.
You'd still restrain them.
Okay, right. So I control what my rules.
Well, create. Your degree of participation.
Right.
And but she knows that, and she doesn't really care because she could look at them and they look perfectly fine.
Right.
And you could spend another 20 minutes getting them straight.
Right. But when she wants to put up a straight thing, she makes sure I come in because she recognizes I'm pretty good at the straightness.
Well, I have square.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's correct. And because you can see within a 1/16 of an inch.
Yeah.
But here's the fun of it. Here's the fun of it. Carolyn knows what a 1/16 of an inch is, and you don't.
Yeah.
But you know when it's a 1/16 of an inch off, but you wouldn't know how much a 1/16 of an inch is.
Okay, so I'm the knowing.
Well, in that particular situation.
Yeah, I'm the knowing. And she...
She would be... the 1/16 of an inch.
Right.
And you would know if it was off. She'd know what a 1/16 of an inch is, and you'd be within a 1/16 of an inch as far as correct.
Okay, so
just with your eye.
Right, so we're discussing the difference between Bob and Carolyn. If you bring Kelly in, then the difference between Kelly and Carolyn or Kelly and Bob would be a whole other distinction. Or it's always what we're just doing here. We're a sample. These are the only kind of difference you can be. One's being and one's knowing. One is that,
well,
or is there variations?
There can be variations. There can be variations. There can be, because here's what's kind of fun. Being and knowing can also be applicable, Bob, within the three kingdoms.
As a duality?
As duality, yes.
We're trying to, the difference between me and Carolyn, is that archetypal between any two people? Is half the word the knowers and the other half the being? Or is
No, it can wax and wane. It can wax and wane. Because sometimes you're really bright on something and you be it.
And she has to be the knower of it.
Doesn't be it, but she knows it.
Yeah.
Just like when you described like the chemical aspects of the cave.
Yeah.
See, Carolyn knew it, but she didn't be it.
Right.
So it can wax and wane from anything that's topical. But
that's probably why since she knew it and didn't be it, that's what she meant when she said she felt she was just winging it, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, because
she was just going through what she knew.
Yeah. Okay, so people, we have this model. This model of the three. Oh, wait, okay. So when people say there's my reality and there's my feelings, they're saying there's the outer kingdom and my inner kingdom would be what they mean when they go, there's reality and then there's my feelings, right? And they're always trying to juggle that. They miss the interplay part, the third kingdom.
And the solving, which is what they end up with.
Yeah, and they even know they solve it, but they don't think that is a third kingdom. They think that's some kind of resolution between the outer and the inner.
Well, if they realize that there are three kingdoms.
Well, they don't. That's what's new. Yeah. I think the third kingdom is new to people. They think it's us, me against the world, and if my feelings are okay, then the world's okay. But sometimes the world gets overwhelming and it upsets my feelings. And then I try to figure, they run around trying to resolve it, and they don't know that it's the third kingdom, the middle part, that is resolving it for them.
It becomes the laudable conclusion.
Yeah. And then they think, oh, I settled my, they might say, I have a good feeling about it now. And they're thinking in terms of their inner kingdom. They don't know that the good feeling about now is their perception of the middle kingdom of themselves.
Good. Now, do you want to stir on this a little bit more?
You mean keep talking? Sure.
No. I mean, tangle it up a little bit.
Just a second now. You mentioned this duality.
Yes, you're going there. Good.
The being and knowing. There's always duality, but there's all kinds of different contents in the dualities.
Well, there is, and there's also, don't forget now, you have another little concept. Now, we don't want to undo everything, because you're okay, but we do want to add a little twist to it. Within the kingdoms, sometimes you have what they call an offer-compromise state.
Offer, is that a legal term?
Offer. Well, not legal, it's kind of like... let's say you're trying to...
No, but is it from some discipline? It's a jargon. Offer, compromise, place.
Yes, meaning, Carolyn offers to get a case of Snicker bars.
Right.
And then maybe the compromise, in order for her to agree to do that, the compromise might be, Bob, and please don't eat four a day.
Yeah, have one a day.
Or divide it up and so you feel like you're eating 16 of them and cut them up into smaller pieces and nibble on them or something. See, that would be an offer compromise. But now the offer may come in. You'd say, no, if I can't have as many as I want, I'll have none.
Right. That would be my response to her offer compromise.
Well, no. Her offer would be, I'll get you a case of Snicker bars if you'll just eat one a day. And your response may be, your compromise may be, hell no, if I can't have what I want, I'll just have none.
Right.
And then she would say, fine. Okay? So you may not, you don't have to compromise, but many times...
But when she says fine, does that mean she accepts my condition?
Yes, which means you ain't going to get any Snicker bars.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, okay, fine.
See? So, but then you get kind of might talk about it again, and you might, or she might go ahead and get the case and not even let you know that they're there and sort of dribble them on. You go, okay, I think I'll just give me some folded money. I'll just get a Snicker bars at the beach today because I'm in the mood for a Snicker bar, which would be one, or she could limit that, you see.
Yeah.
And then she might just say, okay, well, fine. Oh, look, there's one left in the thing here. You see?
Yeah.
And that would also be a degree of offer compromise where you wouldn't even be aware of it.
Right.
Okay? So that's we wanted to add that little dynamic because it will come up. If we don't mention it, then you're going to be like, well, how does this work every single time without fail or exception? And we'd say, well, it doesn't. They go, well, you're full of shit then because we went through all this stuff to get this all cleaned up, and then we can't know nothing and can't get there from there. So that's just a small twist.
The offer, and then she offers something, and then I respond. What does the word compromise refer to, me or her?
That you come to an agree that no, a compromise, an offer
gets a counter, gets a response, and then the compromise is the result.
You have an offer, and you can't have a counter offer. But rather than have an extra step, we just go offer compromise. Meaning, if you would might want to have a conversation to convince her that it would be in your best interest to have four Snicker bars a day rather than one, and if you agree to some conclusion, then that would be an agreed compromise.
Yeah, offer, response, and then compromise.
Yes, and you could call that a counter offer.
Yeah.
But we don't want to make
We'll just say response. No. Response
yes,
to the offer.
Because we don't want to make it hard. Because, you know, if you keep adding stuff, it never ends.
Okay,
but
so why
we did want to add that little twist because the other doesn't work every single time without fail or exception.
What is the other that doesn't
without work? Offer compromise.
Okay, offer compromise, you're bringing in to this relationship between the outer and inner kingdom through the middle kingdom. Why are you bringing in this offer compromise ambience?
So it will work every so that the outer inner kingdom interaction will work every single time in every situation without fail or exception.
If you know there's the offer compromise.
But yes, the potential offer compromise subjective.
Offer compromise subjective.
Good.
Subject.
Because it doesn't have to be. It could just be, say, Carolyn, get me a case of Snicker bars, and she'd say, okay. Well, you know, we're good. There's no offer compromise. It's just saying okay.
What were we talking about that offer compromise complicates?
The kingdoms of your degree of manifestation between the three kingdoms. And understanding the dynamics of how things show up, why they show up, and what you allow in your experience. So when you figure that out completely, you can have the experience of parallel world traveling and remember it.
Yeah, so somehow offer compromise is brought into working out the three kingdoms.
Yes.
It's an So offer.
It's a dynamic that sometimes is included in the you're sieving through the three kingdoms.
In something I'm dealing with. Yeah, that's the outer kingdom, dealing with the outer kingdom.
Yes. All right. Now let's do an offer compromise in the inner kingdom with you and you.
Oh, that was an outer kingdom offer compromise?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so, okay.
Well, an inner kingdom would only deal with you.
Right.
Darren wouldn't be involved in it.
Right. See, that comes back to my original appreciation of the inner-outer. The inner kingdom is the fact that all reality is your own universe, and that's that. But as I used to always bring up, there is this outer reality that people negotiate with. And where does that come from? What creates it? What's the mass mind that creates it? That you're now calling the outer kingdom, and it is there.
And it's logical.
But you couldn't say that 6 months ago.
No way in hell, because you are having it.
Right,
okay.
So there's an outer kingdom and an inner. So the inner kingdom is that part of reality where everything is my own creation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly correct. Very good.
Now you'll file that.
You'll file that forever and be able to explain every situation that every human creator ever wants to come up with. Because now you've got all the sets or lines and spaces where each thing could potentially apply.
But wait a minute. That's what people are always negotiating. They're always... They say, oh, so I have my own reality. And they all go, but am I on? I got to go to work. And basically, they list all the things they got to do, which are the outer kingdom aspects. And they think Ion is ignoring that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can say, no, when we're ignoring that, we're pointing out that the inner kingdom is very powerful in your life. There is an outer kingdom, but we want to emphasize the inner kingdom because you've been too concerned about the outer kingdom. So we're going to say there's no outer kingdom. It's all inner kingdom, so you can get back into your inner kingdom awareness.
Yep.
And then once you've done all that, 6 months later, then we'll admit there is an outer kingdom.
Well, you don't have to admit it. You can come out right out of the chute.
Well, that's what I'm saying you did. You didn't admit it till later.
Well, because you had to get to the place where if you give them a plan B, then you might as well skip what the real deal is and just go straight to plan B and say, okay, then you're only the master of your own world if you've got a working job and you go to it. Well, that's not the case or true, but yes, with the dynamic of the outer kingdom, if you feel that you are required, that your resources are limited to your actions, then yes, by God, you better get to work, and I mean be on time and work real hard and
But I know that's what I see is the issue. Everybody's saying, Ion, activate my ESP. I want to get in touch with my non-physical. All these things are effects of hearing the concepts and words and ideas that Ion says.
And now you can explain it through your kingdoms.
Right.
If it's working, you don't need any kingdom work.
Well,
then here we go.
Yeah, because you could say, well, people... They're cruder. They go, look, there is a reality out there that's imposed on me. I can't pull this off totally. And so they're resentful about that, and they try to do their inner kingdom, but they don't do well in that because they're too bothered by the outer kingdom. So you're saying we've established that three-way thing, which to me is good. It's almost explaining tactility.
It does.
Yeah.
And what it does best, Bob, here's what it does very best. In every dynamic, it can explain, understandably, how tactility is woven between all three kingdoms. So at any level of expression, you can understand where contrast or tactility is coming from. And if you can do that, you can divide it, isolate it. And if you can't deal with it this red-hot second, if you knew you could move it to the outer kingdom until you were ready to deal with it, it could lay there for a bit until you decided.
Right. You okay, Carol?
Yeah, my phone just dropped.
Your phone. It didn't break, though. Okay, so Ion, when you say all that, I immediately think, well, okay, Maslow and these psychologists, they all were working towards this, and they never got there.
Yeah.
I'm here to receive it. I'm the smartest guy. I waited. I'm here to receive it and be the first to hear it because I know a bit about what went before.
Yep.
Yeah, so in that sense, I'm the smartest guy in that sense. Yeah, because...
Of course.
The thing is, I looked at a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I touched on them. Probably I could figure out what they were saying. Mm-hmm. Then have the guts to talk to the Evergreens to get their ear to you.
Yeah, and most of it sucked, but you didn't even care about that. You were just trying to, you were waiting them out, Bob.
Yeah, I was waiting out the Evergreens, you mean?
Or all of them.
Everybody, you're right, I waited them out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when McLuhan died that day. It's great, he's gone. They don't deal with him anymore. Who's next?
Right.
Oh, Frank died, great. Still here.
Exactly.
I'm still running around the track.
Sure. And it's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem if they were here, and it certainly ain't a problem if they're gone.
But it was like, hey, I like what you did. I'll remember it and use it because I'll probably be here and you won't. Something like that. I'll carry on your work. and add on something to it, or figure out what was missing.
Or at least figure out what you didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah, find out. Okay, so the, so, but this is, the three kingdoms, it seems to me, it completes all the different schools of psychology and sociology and media analysis.
And we did it, and you did it in 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah, right. We've, yeah. In other words,
solved every fucking problem in the world in 2.5 hours.
Yeah, after.
Isn't that great? I mean, that, think about that for just a second. Wow. Now, is it femme fatale? Not necessarily. There may be little things that come along that you might readdress or recover, meaning adjust and tweak for every dynamic. But generally speaking, our words should work every single time without fail or exception, because those broad spectrum product conversations are the ones most beneficial, because it can reach the most.
Right, and do you mean by broad the three structure, simple three structures, the broad.
Yeah, yeah. And with everything, everything, you can be, do, or have anything you want to be, do, or have. Well, we could say specifically what you could be, and what you can do, and what you can have, but by the time you get through all that, you've missed more than you've hit.
Right.
But if you can be, do, or have anything, all of a sudden that becomes euphoric. But just like you just said, and then they said, well, great, Ion. Fine, wonderful, isn't that just tutti frutti? You know, come on, butterscotch, tell me one more time how I can be happy and I can do my job and I can have enough resources to do what I want to do. Because they say, I can't. Because if I work my job and make my money, I can't have time to spend it. Well, if I don't have a job, I have plenty of time, but I don't have a place to live. Well, if I have the vacation and I have the job, I don't have enough money to go. Well, then, any way I go at it, I'm less than, or I'm screwed.
Well, you're laying out this dilemma. You're saying the three kingdoms helps that?
It does. It absolutely does. It allows you to compartmentalize the whole dynamic to decide whether or not you really do have to have the worky job.
Yeah, okay, I got that. That'll be to be said to them. Now, the thing is, if you say
you
I got
see
it,
how you could take that, you could do the same conversation with cancer.
Right, but hold on. If you're saying that I got all that in 2.5 hours, it's a microcosm of Carolyn laid out the issue, went forward, explored it. From my point of view, created a lot of confusion.
Developed it? No, she didn't.
No, hold it. In my perspective, left a lot of confusion. I see that's the way we lived. She went out in the world, was a doctor, checked it out, and then had some questions about it after 20 years. And then I come in to sort of, I was observing it.
Right.
So I observed her first explanation of sidebar and all that. Waited until she was finished. That's her going out and being a doctor. Then I wait for her to finish or get to a point where, oh, this ain't working. What do we got next? And then, we created Ion was one thing. But I then pursued the conversation again and supposedly figured it out using Carolyn's experience. And I see that as a microcosm of what we did the last 40 years.
Yeah. Yes, because you would have never had those questions to ask had she not laid out the mystery landscape for you to consider.
Right. I had to have her experience. I had to have someone be a probe and go out and experience things for me to observe.
Yes, which is funny because it's a topic that we brought up as a title for a chapter many, 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 many months ago.
And what was that title? Destiny of Annihilation? Oh.
Yes, the Destiny of Annihilation.
Yeah, because that was the topic tonight, but I didn't know that was the answer.
We told you.
Right now?
No, we told you that it came up 60 readings ago.
Yeah, and so the Destiny, as I watched Carol's Destiny.
Yeah.
And it led to Annihilation in many different ways. She didn't. I don't mean a negative annihilation. She destroyed the medical profession.
Well, yeah. And they're still trying to recover.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's moved on with the solutions.
Absolutely.
Or creating...
And now you see what's happening is it's kind of come full circle because now the medical profession doesn't know what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah.
Literally. So, if you look at it that way, it was the best thing that could have ever happened.
What was the best thing that ever could happen?
Her experience.
Yeah, well, her annihilating of it, or
them making judgment regarding her reality of what her effectiveness as a licensed professional PA, PC doctor.
Yeah, it was good they took away her license. Because
otherwise, she would have been part of the system that was doomed.
Yeah, yeah. She got
it. She would have doomed herself. Now, that would have been an interesting offer compromise, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so she got out of the system early and developed a way to deal with the post-system.
And that post-system is what's undoing their beingness.
Yeah, her post-system.
Yes.
Yeah.
But had that not been her experience, she says, like, well, great. I'm in this. I have a license. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And I found a better way. And now I can't be out. I can't undo myself.
Yeah, because I'm still in it.
Because I'm stuck in it. Good. See? So it became the fastest path to her individual joy.
Yeah.
You didn't care. You didn't know she had a license. You didn't know. It wouldn't bother you.
But here's the thing. So here she was finishing her practice in 91, going to go to New York. She set it up to be busted because that would be the rocket launcher to where she wanted to go.
Of course.
You created your own bust, Carol. And it happened just before you went, so it didn't interfere with your practice too much.
Exactly.
Perfect timing.
Timing, good.
Oh, is metronome, the metronome and the TikTok, is that timing or just mechanical?
No, that's timing.
Oh. Just meant you're just doing something here. So you did that. Now we'll see how long it stays. What did you say it is?
Metronome is timing.
But it's tick-tock, as if it's mechanical.
Well, that's time. No, not like the sweep of a pendulum on a clock. Because a metronome, you can slide up and down and go tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
It's not the tick-tock. It's the fact you can alter it.
And make that rhythm. It's a rhythm.
Right, it's the rhythm. The metronome allows you to experience rhythm, whereas sweeping hand, that...
It's the same.
It's all just the same and it's flat.
And foolishness.
Oh, okay, so because that came up and I didn't know which side the metronome metaphor fell on. So that's it, the fact you ingest it and illustrate rhythm.
And you can make the beat go faster or you can make the beat go slower. But just so you know, just like Sonny and Cher, the beat goes on.
So the beat goes on doesn't strike me as a useful phrase, or it's okay, it's cliche, but I mean, it's sort of obvious what it means. It means more is coming. Is there something else about the phrase, the beat goes on?
The beat goes on. If you're going to be in your physical body for eternity, that heart's going to beat on.
Okay, the beat will always go on.
Correct, but that has nothing to do with time.
Right.
Good.
and the rhythm of your heartbeat is your timing,
and it can change.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about whether it gets fast or slow.
Correct, but you can notice it.
Yeah,
good. And it can be a source of contrast or be a source of comfort.
Right. Okay. So let's go into more important topics.
Is there?
No, which could be trivial topics.
We like that too. Like them all, Bob.
Either way.
We'll rapid fire you right through.
Okay, what happened to the boat in the... It's in the Straits of Hormuz where the battleship disappeared. Is that where it was? Not the Gulf of Aden, or is the Gulf of Aden part of that?
The Gulf of Aden, it leads into it.
Oh, okay. So was it in the Gulf of Aden or the Straits of Hormuz?
It's where they join.
Okay, so how are the people on the boat doing?
Doing fine.
Do they know they've gone into another thing, or they?
Some do.
Okay, so
the communications officer knows not. It would be the equivalent of the XO.
I don't know what an XO is.
I know, that's why we were trying to say the equivalent of. So the second in command.
Okay.
Executive officer, they know.
Well, what? They must have known there were such things to know.
No, they just know the anomalies that they're experiencing don't fit anything that they've ever experienced before.
Okay, so do they have the concept they're in a parallel world?
They know something's up.
Yeah, they know something's up. Now, no one else knows?
Well, not necessarily, no, because there's not much difference in where they are and where they were.
Okay.
From their perspective.
Right, but the others can't find them.
Correct.
And that's still happening.
Correct.
And so what do they think has happened?
Well, they think they got off course or system failure or something's down or the GPS is off.
And that they'll find them. Yeah, and that we'll find them is what they're saying.
The same way they deal with Bermuda Triangle stuff.
They look for a while and then, well, I don't know how they do about that. They give up after a while, right?
Or the ship disappears and then it comes back like it did before with those other ships, or the plane comes in and then it goes down.
Well, did the Iranian psychic advisor to Minajizad and those guys, did he see it coming back? Or did he just tell them about the disappearance, which they got all excited about and predicted? You know what I mean? Do they know it's coming?
They did not say, because they don't know.
And we don't know if it'll come back. That hasn't been decided.
Well, we do, but they don't.
Well, if it comes back, then there's no problem.
No, the problem may be where it comes back.
Oh, okay, all right. That's interesting. So that we're still in the middle
of it. What you going to do if it comes back in the middle of Nebraska?
Right, so it's the...
Houston, we might have a little problem there.
Right, so it's the incident is interesting now because it's between rests.
Good, very good, very good. Now, is it worthy of discussion? Certainly it is. Does it make a difference really, really, really right this red hot second? Not necessarily. So you could put it in the bullshit category until there's something else that comes up about it, but it is interesting to discuss the possibilities of dynamics that are being unfolded.
Right, so the communications guys are in the position to know that something's funny, but the rest of the ship, I mean, are they receiving instructions from the other ships, which they wouldn't be, because they can't. Aren't they wondering what they should be doing?
They are following their course until they get different orders. But now here's the funny thing. The frequencies from the communication officers, they're getting some communications, but those communications are coming from another world, the world that they're in.
Right. And they don't understand them, I guess.
Well, they're a little bit odd.
Yeah.
Because there's the codes and the numbers and the things that they use for their proof of what they're supposed to be doing are all off.
Yeah, and they're keeping that to themselves. They're not telling the captain or anybody.
Well, they can't, Bob, because then it's kind of like red alert, and they start having to launch their damn missiles and stuff.
Right.
You know, they've been cut off. They're the last ship standing, and the world's come to an end. And
right. In other words, the communication guy knows this. He knows he's going to... He thinks best I keep this to myself, because we don't know what...
Well, he's told the XO, because that's his job. He has to be forthright.
And the XO's keeping it.
They know which parts to keep, you know.
Yeah, the XO's keeping it to himself.
So you don't have a mutiny on the Bounty.
What? What was that about mutiny?
Mutiny on the Bounty. If they just put it all out, everybody would freak out.
Right, so the XO knows to keep it to himself for now.
Yes, for now.
Until the Outer Kingdom forces the issue.
Or concludes it.
Concludes it. Yeah, I guess for concludes it, does that. He's going to wait until the Outer Kingdom speaks.
Right, or he figures out enough to what's going on and then straighten it out.
Okay.
Right now,
But now your Pentagon's very upset.
Well, they don't know it's happened.
They know the ship's not there now.
And the Navy ships around the ship, the other American ships, they don't know, but the Pentagon knows.
Well, they know something's up because they have the way to track them, and they can't track it.
Right, so, and they're not telling the other ships in the Gulf about it. Right?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. They got the satellite surveillance and all that. They got a different perspective. And is it through those people that Clinton heard about it? Bill Clinton.
Inside, yes. And then to cause even more conflict, that's what Carolyn was talking about. The plane crashing.
Oh, yeah.
You
link that as a distraction?
Well, of course.
And so was that guy what they call a sleeper thing, mind controlled, so he could go off when they were necessary to create a distraction?
We would have to file that in the category of certainly a possibility. But see, so much of it, they're getting blatant with things anymore. It doesn't even have to be a sleeper. It can be do this and do this and do this and call it a day because that's what we want you to do.
You don't have to him to just tell them what to do.
Exactly, because they're like, okay.
But
know,
it's
all for,
what?
All for king and country.
Right, but the thing is, I thought maybe you were saying that incident happened out of the blue and the press exaggerates it. Or,
well, how did the press, if the Pentagon didn't want anybody to know, it could have happened and no one of them would have reported a word of it.
That's right. So that, so either it happened of its own will and then the Pentagon said, okay, let's tell everybody and have that dominate the news. Or the Pentagon said, let's have an incident that is inflated. And so they triggered the guy to go.
Or control the plane where he lost control, and then that was his reality.
They took over the plane, so to speak.
And that's all.
Yeah, he didn't intend to do it, but he ended up in that situation.
See, we're being. This is one of those examples where we're offering ideas without being salacious.
And what do you use the word salacious? I don't know what you mean by being salacious.
Well, if you use something salacious, meaning that you tell it the way it is and you know, and there's no way you could possibly know, it would be almost as though you knew, had a way of knowing, which would give a salacious twist to this knowing. They accuse the National Enquirer of being salacious, like poking into things that aren't true and just making shit up and writing stuff, and then in the case with John Edwards, it was not salacious, it was spot on.
Right.
But many times that's not the case. And that's called being salacious.
So, without looking up, salacious means exaggerating.
Exaggerating and poking it to make it fit, to say, well, you were here, and you were here, and you were here, so you must be having their love child.
Right, so... So if Ion actually told me what's going on, we would be accused of being salacious.
Correct.
We'd have to be accused. So it's not me being salacious. If we pursue that, we will then be accused of being salacious. Okay.
So that's when we switch immediately into, well, there are these possibilities. And then if that rings and rots questions, just like Michael Jackson's scenario, then all of a sudden, it gets to be, well, people go, that's interesting. Wow, look at that. Look, there's evidence to this. Why would they do it that way? That's kind of strange. Why would this be like this if that's like that? And we're the marvelous creators. Why didn't we have things thought up enough to ask what the hell went on with the money?
Right, now...
Hey, guys, just before I drop off, can... you ask about why Obama went ahead and met the Dalai Lama in the White House against the Chinese strict forbearance of it.
I just saw that Obama didn't meet with him.
He did.
The Drudge Report said he refused to meet with him, I think. Refused to do something. I thought it was... Okay, so you're asking Ion a question.
Yes, Ion, why did Obama meet with Dalai Lama against the Chinese orders not to?
Because it was a double whammy. Mm-hmm. One is they're questioning the Dalai Lama's power.
Who's they?
China.
Is questioning the Dalai Lama's power, okay.
China's the one that said, don't you do it.
Right.
Okay. The president didn't know which side of the coin he wanted to rub. But at the same time, he knew that the fullness could get stirred up, so a conclusion could come into play.
Okay, the word fullness, the fullness could get stirred up.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word fullness refer to?
The conversation between Obama and the Dalai Lama. Because the battle is over India, in which territory that the Dalai Lama controls, and those people who follow the works of the Dalai Lama. So when they do it that way, it's almost kind of like a pseudo Bay of Pigs standoff kind of thing.
Okay, the word fullness confuses us, me at least. I don't know what you're saying. Let's go back. Forget that. I don't know what. Let's try to talk about it without the word fullness. You're saying that we're at the point where you're saying Obama didn't know which to do. So then you have to answer, why did he decide to see the Dalai Lama?
So it could stir up an emotion from China.
Why did he want to do that?
Because they quit giving him money checks.
Well, that doesn't sound a good way to do it. The rub to be...
Well, then when you get to be president, you can do what you want to, Bob.
Right, but you're saying that you won't give us money? Okay, we'll meet with the Dalai Lama, and you don't
right.
like that. Uh-oh, I'm making you madder. Could be one
well,
way.
And?
Or is there another way? Oh, you really are
no,
worried that I'll recognize...
No, it's more like this. China forbids President Obama from meeting with the Dalai Lama. Not the other way around.
Yeah, China forbids Obama from meeting with the Dalai Lama.
And now China ain't giving America the money checks no more.
So Obama doesn't have to follow China.
So Obama says, well, you cut us off. Why am I engaging in what you think?
Right. And
what I want to do.
And could he, is he saying that might make China reconsider the cutting off? Is he hoping
or repledge the allegiances that have already been pretty well established.
I don't get that. Repledge the, Carol, do you know what that means? Repledge the allegiances. Well, which allegiances?
U.S. Well, China and not recognizing an independent Tibet.
Okay. They won't give me any money, so I will go with the other side.
I'll make it like I'm going to recognize Tibet.
Okay, and then what's the allegiance that's repledged? I go back to China and not recognize Dalai Lama? Is that what you mean?
No. To reset who's in vogue.
Okay, Cam.
If China ain't gonna play, I can screw with the Dalai Lama and get more support than I'm not getting from you, China.
And is he doing that as an attempt to get China to be nicer? Or he doesn't care?
He doesn't care.
Well, I think he ain't going to win from that because China is more powerful either way, or...
Well, your time will tell.
Okay.
Is Obama trying to get some popular vote going?
He's desperately trying to get any vote that will bring him... He's in a pretty foul shape right here these days.
Yeah, and he's trying to look good on any angle.
Well, his numbers are already worse than W's.
Right. Yeah.
Or did you see the billboard with George W. Bush with the big thing up there saying, do you miss me yet?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty priceless.
right. Now, who put that up?
A concerned group of Republicans.
Right.
In a geographic area. And they didn't even have his permission, but they did anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's gone around the world.
Right. Now, here's the headline I was referring to. Obama refuses public appearance with Dalai Lama.
What date was that?
That's today. Today's paper.
Wow.
Well, public.
Public, see. He met with him privately, but would not go all the way and meet with him publicly.
Right.
Very good. So it wasn't like a state, is it?
Yeah, it says Obama meets Dalai Lama and China is quick to protest. He met with the for a low profile meeting. So somewhere later in the article, they're saying it wasn't public. It wasn't an official meeting.
Right, but what has been said is, if it wasn't in any way official, it shouldn't have been in the White House. It should have been on outside neutral territory.
But he worked. What'd you say, Ian?
Why?
The White House makes it political, according to China.
Well, no, that would be only if it was in the West Wing. He could have had the Dalai Lama for dinner.
Yeah, he just had him in the map room, but the Chinese are still protesting, just because the headline will say Dalai Lama meets the president in the White House. They won't go into the details, necessarily.
Of course,
that's right. It's a media game.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and Obama is, you know,
milking it.
Yeah, between a rock and a hard place, so he has to, you know, I'll meet with the Dalai Lama, but it won't be official, so I won't get real trouble with China, but I will bug them a bit by meeting with them, so it's right in the interval.
Yeah, we'll probably see Obama doing all kinds of kind of crazy things. It's just sort of personal things that he wants to get done before he gets ousted.
Consider those possibilities, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Because, Bob, you know, you already, your chart says things about that already anyway. Remember?
Well, it just says that I'm president in 2012, so, you know, it's leading towards that.
Good.
And all those, you know, posers up to that point aren't relevant.
Good.
They're just posers, and they don't last long. So what? Okay, Carolyn, you want me to get your phone?
Yeah, you can get it later. Good night, guys. Thank you very much. I'll listen to the rest of it tomorrow.
Hey, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
You ask about the Dalai Lama because you've known a lot of people involved with the Dalai Lama. That's sort of like something you identify with and need to know because your outer kingdom involved you with the Dalai Lama people.
Yeah, and I've always thought that, you know, a place like Tibet, they sort of just lived in their inner kingdom. And it wasn't until the Chinese came to their outer kingdom to try to, you know, ride them roughshod that they had to realize in their middle kingdom that they had messed up. They hadn't in any way lived a balanced kingdom life as a country. And they became susceptible.
Yeah.
They just lived inner kingdom.
And the West lived to outer kingdom.
Yeah.
Primarily, exclusively.
And they don't know how to get to the resolution
right.
With acknowledging what they offered.
Right.
China offers the outer kingdom, Tibet offers the inner kingdom.
Right. And we offer all three. Maybe more.
Maybe more.
And much more. Very good.
Much more.
Okay, good night, guys. Thank
good
you.
Good night, the phone. Okay. Good night. Ion, are you there?
We are.
Yeah, is your throat getting ratchety? Okay.
Didn't notice, but maybe.
So the other interesting trivial news story is what's happening with the Amy Bishop story, other than her being in jail? What are the other guys doing with the thing that's still growing?
It's been moved.
But they can't stop it. I'm assuming they can't stop it.
They don't want to stop it.
Oh, they want to But it can infect people.
Well, they've contained it. It's contained.
But those guys that were shot, they got infected because they made a mistake in
interacting with it?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah. It's not out of control. I mean, they can control it. Can you describe what does this stuff do?
Melts your flesh off your bones.
Okay, and is this a natural substance from another world? And it's the old science fiction thing. If we went to a weird planet with different chemistry, we'd burn up in it. It's like a substance from one of those natural planets that we aren't compatible with.
Maybe.
Right. Who put this substance here? Was it dropped off by UFO? You know, foreign body civilization.
If you'll make a little notation, a little bit more of the identification of the double helix is identified, we'll be able to go into that, but we don't want to get you that deep yet.
Right. And are you saying that these people, when they identified, or when the CNN announces general studies that identify?
Well, no. All they got to do is complete the testing and they'll try to hold it secret. Well, all that means is that people will be tweeting about it before they go to bed the same night or the same day.
Right, so you're saying that we'll wait till the testing that they're doing now and knows a little more, right?
Until it gets back. And then there's enough you can ask questions and pinpoint it.
Yeah, you said until it gets back?
The information, yes.
Yeah, okay, so we're waiting for development there. All right, so...
So we can be clear. Otherwise, you get too smart for your...
Right. Get salacious.
Very good. Perfect.
So, irritating...
We can't believe you hadn't tore up about the pipe bomb yet. Typically, you'd be all over that.
What incident is that?
She received a pipe bomb years ago. In her office.
Was that not the Unabomber stuff that he sent out?
No, it was just a pipe bomb.
So that means that there was something that she was doing way back then.
Yes.
Well, why did she stand out? What was she discovering back then or manifesting?
The same thing she was working on when they hauled her away.
Oh, in other words, so she created this thing many years ago that nobody wanted that out, and then that's why attention, when they need to do something in Alabama with the front, they got her because she'd already got the technology, and then they got her to reinvent it again under their auspices, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Oh, I see. Right. So...